Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're broad bound to answer. Starring Rick Nash, Corporate King, and the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. It's Ask Low Blows.
All right. this is mad.
Hey, guys.
It's Ask Low Blows time, as always. Yeah. Kian, Rick, and Katie. And you may notice something different about this episode compared to the last episodes over the last few months. This is the post Raw Underground episode. So, first of all, did you see Raw this week?
I saw only the clips of Raw Underground. And you know what? I'm happy with that. I'm happy that that's the only things I've experienced in wrestling the last few months have been an eye for an eye match and Raw Underground. I don't know what it is. I've seen a lot of people are angry. They stole it from Chikara or something, did they? That's something I've seen on Twitter today. I don't care, to be honest. I think they all stole it from Fight Club. So, I don't know. I'm confused, but I kind of love it.
Okay.
I'm into it. Yeah, it's something different. It's like, and what I'm finding interesting is like people, like they had an idea that worked. It, like at a time when people were like ready to just shit on them. And I think people are struggling with that a lot where it's just like, they're I kind of half liked that. And it's like, so like, that's a lot of reactions I've seen. So I'm kind of enjoying that. It's different. It's something that I'm intrigued by. It's a good way to build people up. I never thought I wanted to see Eric out of the Viking Raiders in an actual fight, like, and kind of kick ass. Yeah, it really worked. It's such an interesting way to get people over. I kind of like Shane McMahon being a part of it. I think he's getting shit. Like, Rusev put out a tweet saying, oh, Shane's burying guys. And it's like, I think he's putting guys over. I think him having him there made, who's the first guy who was really boss on it?
He used to be called Babatunde. I forget his Fight Club name now. You may remember him from the Saudi Arabian Royal Rumble.
Yes, yeah, but like him, he made him look really good. Like, he made him a big deal because he's just like, he's like pumping him up and he's being the commentary while your man's kicking the shit out of the other three guys. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It's something to watch Raw for. Like, I'm into it. I liked the way that's kind of. Because it's tough, because the little stable with MVP that we've been kind of talking about the past few weeks, like, you can't really put the main belt on them just yet because you have Drew and Randy and there's stuff to get through. You can eventually. Lashley deserves like a run as the top guy for a while, and that probably will end up happening. But like, I like how they're giving him a part of the show that like they're in charge of. They dominate that. So it immediately gives a character. There's a dynamic there where it's going to be like, is it going to be a thing where who's in charge, them or Shane? Like, I'm like, I don't know what it's going to turn into, but it's different.
I fucking loved it, right? This is actually gas. I genuinely really, really loved it. First of all, I adore the Hurt Business. They are my favorite thing in WWE right now. I love all three members to fucking bits. And I love this whole setup. I think it's gas. And I was actually thinking about this earlier. This is the first time, like, in years that I've been excited for Raw. Next week, I actually am so curious to see where it's going to go. But Raw Underground isn't the only reason why I'm excited, right? I really want to know what you think of this, okay? Did you see the new faction that debuted?
No.
Yes.
They threw Molotovs at the power outside. It caused the lights to flicker because they want chaos. Well, WWE.com have found, I don't know if there's somebody in WWE.com talking to them and know who they are, or if they just left ransom notes around the place, but this new group are called Retribution. So they have an issue with WWE. They have an issue with WWE, right? They want to take it out on the company. And there's five of them, and there's all sorts of rumors, all sorts of speculation as who could be in the gang, you know, who's got issues. Is someone said Chelsea Green could be in it. I think that's a great shout. There could be a couple of other people in it that may have disappeared. People from NXT, you feel like they haven't been used. People who may have been released, you know, that may have a vengeance against the company. People who may have, you know, been released during the pandemic that can now be brought back.
Oh,
that didn't get signed anywhere else.
Oh, I see what you're getting at.
Danny, we know there's quite a big lad there. There's quite a...
Oh, is there?
Well, there's a big lad in that group.
Oh, shit. See, consider this, that the releases were, a lot of them were furloughed. which means it's kind of a temporary release where it's like, we're not going to pay you for a few months, but we're not saying fully goodbye. So like they didn't say who was furloughed and who was actually released. So that's a possibility that's in play.
A lot of people are suggesting that it's a lot of people are, again, it's just speculation, but they're saying that there's a main eventer, you know, like the usual faction setup where it's like main eventer, champion, women's champion, tag team champion, and then like a mid-card champion who'd be like the muscle, the big man. A lot of people are suggesting the big lad is, what's the name? Dominik Dijakovic. I can't say that name. But you know what I'm talking about. The lad who got battered around by Karrion Kross the other week. So he's kind of, you could technically have him written out of NXT and start this new thing. The same with Ciampa. There's a lot of people suggesting Ciampa. Mm-hmm. I've seen people speculating saying Mustafa Ali. I don't think so. I don't think it's Aleister Black either. I think it's people who are...
Who don't have anything.
Yeah. I think Brendan Vink and Shane Thorne, two Australian lads who were on Raw when I stopped watching it. Well, I haven't seen them since I started watching it again. Could be them. Could be one of the Forgotten Sons. Could be a Raw thing. It could be overall three brands. You genuinely don't know. And I'm... Lads, if it's Eric Rowan, I'm just saying, like, that's probably why I'm really excited for Raw next week. I don't know when we're going to find out the identity. It might be a SummerSlam thing, or maybe before SummerSlam. I don't know. I'll be honest, I actually didn't know it was a new faction at the start. I thought it was the Ninjas. You know, Akira said it was Ninjas, and it was only afterwards. I was like, wasn't there meant to be, like, a new faction debuting?
Did that not ruin it for you, though, the fact that WWE put out, there's a new faction debuting tonight? Because, like, Phil showed me the tweet, and he was like, this isn't cool. He was like, I'm not excited to watch Raw now because, like, it's not unpredictable anymore. They're even telling you, like, we have a surprise tonight.
See, it's not cool, but did I want to watch it then? Yeah. See, I love factions probably more than the average person. I really love factions. So, like, it's a weird thing.
The average person, like, 40% likes factions. Keane's, like, 85% likes factions.
I absolutely adore factions. but I just realized I can't look at the chat when I'm doing this because it's too distracting.
I've got you covered. Don't worry.
Thank you. So I'm just going to close it. Hope you don't mind.
Jimmy said, a lot of people are saying, all right, Keane Trump. Sean McGovern saying, anyone watch the championship playoff match last night?
Oh, it was so boring. Yeah, why did I watch? Like, I could have second half. I could have waited. I was gonna play PlayStation.
Could have watched Ireland beat England in the cricket. Cricket World Champions.
I'm not watching cricket.
Like, no, that's fair. I'm the same. I'm not one of these who hops on sports because Ireland are doing well. Well, done,
you see, I kind of am. I'm kind of not. On one hand, fair play to them. I'm buzzing for them. But am I gonna? I still don't understand the rules of cricket.
It's not Rounders because Rounders is fun and I can follow it. Like, cricket is a whole different breed. Like, I don't understand a single thing about that game.
Baseball is more Rounders. That's more.
I thought cricket was just baseball with funny hats and all. No?
It's way more complicated.
Because, like, Joe's mad though. It's massive in England. Like, when I listen to Talk Sport sometimes for, like, football or whatever, I was doing it there and I'll turn it on thinking, oh, yeah, they're going to be talking about, like, you know, Premier League or something like that. And then they're just starting about innings and shit. I'm like, oh, man, like, I don't care.
Like, game can be, like, 3 days long. That's mental to me.
Did I not think that's a bit overkill? Yeah,
like the way they brought in, like, to make it more exciting is that they made a game just one day. And it's like, that's not like...
Like a speed round. Yeah, like sudden death.
It's not really like... It's like a day is not a short amount of time. But there's more big news. Congratulations. Speaking of news, congratulations to Sean. Got the job. Congratulations. Well, big shout out. John Nolan says cricket rules only make sense to Brits. Jimmy says 5 days. Chris Morty said, well, they did invent it. Keith Hanley said last night was 1 day and then they have 2020. I don't know what that is except for the year.
Well, on that note, we'll hop into the questions.
Yeah.
This week, you told Kento to perhaps cut it down and he says cut down the time by answering quicker. Do you know what? He's right. And we're not going to answer quicker. Absolutely not.
No.
remove one of the following. So he's kind of worded this in such a way that, like, half the word is... it'll make sense. It makes sense, right? Brian, Daniel, or Cranston?
Cranston.
Yeah, Cranston.
Oh,
I get way... Just think about it. Like, even if... Like, I actually watched Breaking Bad and I was really into it when it came out, but... And Malcolm in the Middle as well. But that is Brian Cranston, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. I haven't watched any of those shows since I was 14. You know what I mean? Whereas Daniel Bryan, he puts out banging match after banging match. You know what I mean? Daniel Bryan gave Eric Rowan came out and said the most fun he's ever had in his career was with Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean? So I'm with Daniel Bryan.
It's 100%. So tough. They're both so nice. For me, this is by far the hardest of these questions.
You're really? Brian Cranston at WrestleMania next year, are you? Like, Daniel Bryan's gonna put on a fucking banger. You know
like
what I
mean? Breaking Bad's not good. I think we should all just stop. We should all just stop pretending that it's
worse
a good
than
show.
The science thing. Yeah, of course you don't like. You don't believe in science.
Yeah, I think he's just messing with pixie dust or something.
No! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh, I miss Zoom. I can't believe that I missed taping in the same room. I'm gonna pick like Cranston to remove. I don't like it. I don't like that feeling. I really like Bryan Cranston. He seems like a lovely guy as well. But so is Daniel Bryan. So and I feel closer to Daniel Bryan. So yeah, I'm gonna remove Cranston. But that's a tricky one.
Christmas morning or dinner?
Remove
dinner easily. If we're talking like historically, like our whole lives, nothing will top Christmas morning. If you're including like the first, you know what I mean, like all the first few years, you know what I mean, where you get like all when Santa shows up and it's on excitement, it's deadly. And I actually didn't like Christmas dinner until a few years ago, because I only ever ate chicken nuggets and chips, and still really do for the most part.
I'm actually more shocked that you do like Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't even like love it. I like it. It's grand. You know what I mean? I've grown sort of accept it, really. You know what I mean? Whereas Christmas morning is even still, obviously it pales in comparison to like a decade ago, but I still love Christmas morning. You know what I mean? Even Toby celebrates it, you know what I mean? It's daily.
He gets those turkey-flavored Pringles for his dinner.
So for me, this is easy. I remove Christmas dinner.
I think I'll go for dinner as well. Like, I think the dinner part is overrated. I like Christmas dinner, but it's not the be-all and end-all of the day. And I think the best part of Christmas food is the turkey sandwiches that evening that you make when you're like...
But then you lose that. You're losing the dinner.
Oh, no, what?
You're losing the dinner. Well, so you're not going to have like random turkey sitting around the house. You don't have Christmas dinner, you're not going to cook a turkey breast at Christmas time. Yeah,
but in Japan, their Christmas dinner is KFC. You know what I mean? Like, you can make your Christmas dinner whatever you want. Like, you know, it just can't be turkey.
But I want it to be turkey sandwiches.
Well, I mean, well, hang on. Would you normally have turkey sandwiches for Christmas dinner?
No, no. So you keep the leftover turkey, and then when you're settled down that evening in front of the fire.
Have leftovers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, right. I'm getting rid of Christmas morning.
I'm going to get rid of Christmas morning as well. Now, here's the thing. If I had a kid, and like one day I probably will change that. Do you know what I mean? Because Christmas morning is for kids. Did Santa come? Like that excitement, the whole like buzz and that kind of thing. So like if I had a kid, or like when my sister was young and still believed, like then yeah, like easy Christmas morning was the best part. But now it's like, yeah, whatever. Like a bunch of adults go down and give each other presents. We can do that after dinner.
You have to do it in the morning. Man.
You have to do that.
You do have to do it in the morning. Like, but if I have to choose between the two, I'm going to keep the dinner. Because like,
just have chicken nuggets instead, and then you can give each other presents in the morning.
No, because I can still do the thing. I can still do the things you do in the morning. I don't have to lose anything. I just have to reschedule. Like, so it's not.
That's cheating.
I'm not saying
lose the morning. You still lose the morning.
Yeah, still lose the morning. Have a lion. I love lions.
Instead of but not on Christmas. Like, it's.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, but like I will still get to do both. But like he's asking me if I had to remove one, I'd remove the morning.
Is Christmas dinner your favorite dinner in the world? Like,
it's like
is there not anything else you could have for Christmas dinner that would be a perfectly good substitute?
No, because it's Christmas.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's what I associate with Christmas. I look forward to it. I only eat it around Christmas. I eat it. You know, I'll have a few turkey and ham dinners in the run-up to it, like when I'm meeting up with mates and so on, especially this year, because we probably have to be able to have Christmas drinks. But like, it's I'm going to lose the morning. I'm happy and I'm comfortable with that choice. But again, it would completely change if there was a child in my life and Santa was a thing again, because I absolutely adored that. But it's not, like, so it's, I'm fine losing it.
I'm finding these quite easy enough. Big E or show?
E.
Show.
Get rid of show.
Easy. Oh, get rid of show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love Big Show, but like Big E is my boy. Like, from day one, like I've been on that bandwagon.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking perfect. You know what I mean? Like, and I look, obviously Big Show's an icon. You know what I mean? Like, historically, but I just think Big E has so much. Like, even like looking into the future, I think Big E's got a serious run ahead of him. You know what I mean? So Yeah, we're all in agreement there.
There's some interesting ones on the Christmas one in the chat. Jonathan got on and said the most depressing part of your life would be the first Christmas morning you don't wake up excited. Yeah, I agree with that. Chris got on and said it's worse for parents when Santa ends. Yeah, I cried when my sister found out. She didn't cry, but I cried because I was like, I loved that part of Christmas. Like, so yeah, it is. It's a legit thing. Like, trust me, one day if you ever have kids, I still think of you as a kid. So like, it's weird to even imagine that. But I think you'll get it one day if you do. That's a very real thing. I agree with that.
Where am I now? Another Christmas related one. Santino or Claus.
Santino.
Santino. Santa's a legend, man.
Yeah.
Santa's that's easy. Super Sunday or kick?
I'm going to get rid of Super Kick.
Super Sunday. Super Sunday, isn't like the football?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no, because I get rid of Super Sunday easily. Because, I mean, what does that mean then? Do all the matches happen on Saturday? In which case, daddy, I love when all the matches happen at the same time. Do they get spread out during the week so you got something to look forward to every other day of the week? That's grand too. Sunday, there's other shit happening on Sunday anyway. You know what I mean? Like, for me, there's a lot of overlap, especially now with Formula One as well. So I got Formula One, UFC. It's like, I don't need that on a Sunday as well. I'm not complaining. It's cool to have all these things, but I could spread it out and improve my week overall. And I love the Superkick, even though everyone else hates it because it's overused or whatever. I don't care. If somebody hits Superkick out of nowhere, doesn't matter if you're a fucking trainee hitting it in the second minute of your first match or you're in the main event of WrestleMania and that's how it ends, I still love the super kick no matter what. So I'm pretty comfortable with that decision.
Yeah, I don't really care about football, so I'll get rid of Super
that makes sense. That makes sense.
The super kick is overused, but then we'd also lose a lot of really good super kick finishers.
I'm still gonna remove super kick. Super Sundays, I love Super Sunday. It's great. It's a whole big deal.
Fair enough.
I'm Mr. Sky anyway, so the whole day, I gotta stay loyal.
John Cena or Moxley? And I assume this would mean historically. If you were to root, because John Cena's, I'm sure he'll wrestle again, but I mean, he's essentially done his part now at wrestling. So going forward, that'd be quite an easy decision. So historically, including everything he's done, for me, I have to go with Cena. You know what I mean?
You're getting rid of Cena.
No, keeping Cena. Sorry, right. Keeping Cena.
It's confusing.
Yeah, it is. Right. It is. because, first of all, obviously, I talk about it constantly. The 06, 07 era, that was my era growing up. But then when I got a bit, when I turned into a cool kid, when I grew up and I got really, really cool and hip and trendy.
Yeah, very cool.
Thank you. and I hated Cena when I was 13 or so. I was but then I have Punk and Cena. You know what I mean? So, I just think he's just deadly. So, yeah, I love Moxley as well. Don't get me wrong, but if we're removing from history, no way can I get rid of Cena.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is one that's actually much harder for me than I thought it was gonna be.
Really,
I really love John Moxley. Dean Ambrose is one of my favorites for years. Losing all the Shield stuff.
Oh shit! Yeah. No, I'm still going to see. Yeah.
Well, I love John Cena, but if you would ask me who my favorite wrestler is between the two of them, I would say John Moxley. But then when you think about everything you're losing because of Cena, it's a really tough one, I think.
I would lose all of the Shield stuff if I could just keep John Cena against RVD and John Cena against CM Punk.
Yeah, those are
For those two matches alone, I would give up the Shield.
I wouldn't go that
really?
Far.
I love the Shield.
They're all-time wrestling moments, memories, matches, in terms of, how much you cared, how much you gave a shit. They're, proper, at top of the top. Whereas the Shield are great, but they were consistently great. They are consistently great matches. The highlight of the Shield, I'd say, if I think back to one kind of moment, was Seth Rollins turning on them. It was, that's the defining moment. Everything else was just consistently great. They had amazing six-man matches, every week.
We're agreeing, and yet you're now pushing me in the opposite direction, which is so weird. The Shield got me back into wrestling in 2014.
Yeah.
The Shield against the Wyatts.
That gives me goosebumps. That moment where they all got up on the ring apron and they got holy shit chant or something just for looking at each other. That was the Wyatts and the Shield, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
so good. That was a proper high point for wrestling.
For Big Ladder Rowan as well, you know what I mean? Everyone going crazy. Then you've got the Shield and Evolution. That is there's very few times since then I've been so passionate watching WWE where I'm like, come on, beat the shit out of Triple H, come on. Yeah. And when I got a clean sweep, I was buzzing. And then I was like, the next night on Raw, I'm like, oh, what are they going to go to next?
Shield versus the Rhodes Brothers.
That was one of my all-time favorites. Yeah, I love that match.
Strong.
Like, oh, fuck, man.
But then there's more Cena stuff in here. Cena versus Umaga, Cena versus Styles, Cena versus HBK, Cena versus Edge. Oh, Cena versus Jericho, like, that was a great feud as well.
See, it's my whole childhood, and as a singles wrestler, I wasn't a fan of Dean Ambrose. I'm a fan of him now, but I wasn't a fan of him as Dean Ambrose. So, I'm still keeping Cena, but that's a very tough one. Now, when you actually go back and think of the Shield, I didn't think of that. Oh, yeah.
I don't find this tough at all. I find this easy. I think Moxley is someone that everyone bets on his potential. But he's been that for his entire career. Like, name one great John Moxley one-on-one match.
I did a match against Janela. That was really good.
I can't remember. I genuinely can't remember.
Yeah, I suppose he doesn't really have five stars. But I also don't find his matches boring or uninteresting.
I never
I'm
find
always
him
entertained
boring.
By them.
Yeah, I never ever am not engaged when he's on the screen. I never find him boring. But, like, I struggle to think of one match.
Who did I like better on Total Divas? Moxie or Cena?
Cena.
Moxie. Oh,
Cena's the star.
No, I agree.
We need to kill the dog. Like, it's not even like that you liked him. It's just that he made for a fascinating
really funny.
He was really fucking
funny, man.
You know
the
what?
The men shall go into the cigar room where there is no smoking.
He was like playing the role of somebody who was like trying to be a human. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like he'd observed them and he was like, this is what a human would do in this situation from the 50s films that I have researched. Yeah, you know what? Based on that, I'm keeping Moxley.
Fair enough. No, that is an interesting one. Maybe you could sway me on that, but I'm going to keep seeing it.
Love it.
Madness or Honor?
Oh, easy. Get rid of Madonna.
Really? What?
Madness are one of my favorite bands.
Okay.
Love them.
Okay. Madonna's got too many bangers. I'm going to keep Madonna.
I'm going to get rid of Madness. I do like some of their songs, but it's very... Like, the only song that I'd like really struggle to lose would be... What's the song? It Must Be Love. That's Madness.
That's a great one.
I love that song. It's the only song of theirs that I'd like be sad about. I'd still listen to certain Madonna songs. Like a Virgin's an amazing song. And Beautiful Stranger is something that I've only started listening to again recently. The Austin Powers song. It's like you forget how good it was. Like when you're listening to it, you're like, this is a fucking amazing song. Like, what the fuck? How have I forgotten this song? It's so good. Madonna, there's just a whole catalogue there. I'm going to lose Madness. But it's not, I don't see it as an invalid choice. Like, so I wouldn't argue with anyone.
We all answered. Goldberg or Dust?
This is sneaky interesting.
This is very hard, actually.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
Go on.
I'm obviously keeping Goldberg. Yeah. 100%.
That's the way I leaned when I first saw it, but I still think I'm able to be swayed. What's your answer, Rick?
I don't know if I've got the balls to pick it.
Look, if you keep Goldberg, you get to keep Goldberg versus Ziggler. Like, one of my favorite matches.
That's legitimately, like, probably the strongest match you could have given me. Like,
keeping Goldberg is a controversial one. Katie's already said it.
You think it's a controversial one?
Yeah, man, no one likes Goldberg.
What?
Do they?
I do.
I really read it, but it's the average person.
Look, Adam Turner, Goldberg without a second thought. Would you call him average?
What?
Oh, so we're accepting that I'm average. What?
Oh, yeah, like we just, that was just the foregone conclusion.
Oh, right. Wait, does he mean remove or keep Goldberg?
Keep Goldberg. You have that Goldberg versus Taker match.
You have to.
Oh,
streak.
He's saying remove it.
Yeah, you
right,
see, there you go.
Okay.
Remove Goldberg.
Yeah.
No, look, unless you understood the excitement of watching WCW week to week and seeing the streak, you will never understand how important Goldberg was.
You know what? I didn't experience that. And do you know what? I lived. I got by. I'm going to remove Goldberg. Goldust was great, like, back in the day. He was very edgy. Like, you could argue that the Attitude Era doesn't happen without him because he was the first kind of character that really pushed the envelope. See, you forget, like, how different Goldust was in 1996. You have to watch, like, even if you watch a 1996-97 WWE show, Goldust stands out like a sore thumb. And then Austin does as well, like when Austin starts to become Stone Cold. when you watch back those shows, it's like, it's very cartoony wrestling. It's very Vince McMahon is on commentary wrestling. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very, oh, what's going to happen over here? Here's the Rebo Man. And it's just like really cartoony, cheesy stuff. And then you just have this guy doing like, what the fuck? This guy is just turning shit upside down. Not in like a... like, not even in a Stone Cold CM Punk, I'm changing wrestling kind of way. In a, like, he's making, like, it's like, do you remember, do you ever see the film Bruno?
Yeah.
Do you remember Bruno does the MMA match in front of the crowd of, like, Hicks? Mm. And, like, he ends up having sex with the other guy in there, and they end up rioting. The crowd ends up rioting in the middle of it. That's what Goldust did to WWE audiences. He held up a mirror by making them ask questions that they didn't want asked about themselves.
Wait, are you saying rioting or rioting?
They were riding and the crowd were rioting.
Okay. Because I was like, I don't remember that scene where the crowd start riding.
It would be so strange. Just set off an orgy. It was such a twist. But like, yeah, like Goldust is so far out there that it's like, I think Vince McMahon kind of got ideas where it's like, why don't we make all the characters like this? Where not the same type of character, but just like, just out there, just push buttons. Let's just fucking go for it. So I think, yeah, no, I'm gonna get rid of Goldberg because yeah, I like, even I think back to Goldust against like when he was with Booker T and stuff like that. That was really funny. So yeah, I'm getting rid of Goldberg.
Nah, if I was to keep Goldust, it'd be for a bit of that Booker T Goldust stuff, the Goldust and Cody Rhodes team.
Yes.
And then Dustin versus Cody in AEW. I thought that was, you know, one of their best matches since AEW formed.
All of that, like, that what you just said is more than Goldberg for me.
That's the thing. I look at the counter side, I'm like, Goldberg. Katie, why should I keep Goldberg?
Well, you weren't alive for the streak, so you don't understand. Like you haven't seen all his good stuff. Like
telling someone how they don't understand something is not a good way to convince them.
You know what? I actually am going to keep Goldberg because
it worked. Patronizing him really worked. You wouldn't understand, little child. You're right. I agree.
I do. I've obviously seen clips of Goldberg in WCW, and one that sort of stands out to me is when he lifts up Hulk Hogan for the jackhammer and the whole building just kind of explodes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's moment. Even though I didn't get to experience that myself, I'm kind of like, again, if it was like Goldberg versus someone who meant something to me, but Goldust never connected with me, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, again, he wasn't really around for a lot of the wrestling that I watched, so I'm... But then if you get rid of Goldberg, you get rid of... I'm thinking, what he did in WWE, I don't recall it being like...
It was really cool when he first came back.
Like, that one night. And it instantly got shit, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We'll still laugh. Fuck it, we'll keep going.
This has sparked an interesting chat. This is a really good question, Kendall. Who are the better 2000s in WWE? Goldust, obviously. And WCW didn't. Goldberg is criminally underrated, such a great character. Didn't hear of Goldberg being willing to get breast implants to further his character. And Chris is answering questions that haven't been asked yet. Thanks, Chris. Laura got on actually and said, update on the Jannetty situation. The confession has sparked a police investigation by Columbus PD, apparently.
Guys, I actually feel really bad about laughing about Jannetty because he's very troubled.
I feel like... I feel bad laughing for his victims. Like, if he's a murderer, like...
It's such a bizarre situation. That's the only reason why I had to talk about it. It's just mental, like...
I really don't think he's a sympathetic sisters person. I'm going to be honest. I think a week from now, you will feel less bad about laughing at Jannetty. Yeah.
Okay.
He, like, posts nudes of the girls send him on his Facebook.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like, not a cool person.
Are you friends with him on Facebook, or is it just like...
Yeah, like, I think it's just, I don't know if I'm friends with him or if I follow him, but like, yeah.
Like, it's an open book, as Facebook is.
Like, it's constant, like, if a girl sends him a nude, he puts it up on his wall.
Yeah, like, I'm not friends with him, but I can see.
Because to prove he has sex. Oh. How else would we all know that Marty Jannetty has sex with people.
I could just say has sex today.
Oh, he does. He does. Oh, I mean,
and he'll post pictures of the girls.
Pictures and vivid descriptions.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm going to pass on that one. But, the last Kento question is...
And that's not even the ones related to him. Well played, John. It's true. He literally posted about wanting to fuck his daughter. Do you still feel bad?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
I do not feel bad. I feel bad for his victims. Like, it was only when I thought about, like, when we were saying it out loud and I thought about, oh, he's bringing up murder while talking about this girl. Like, he's subtly threatening to kill.
It's kind of a threat. But I also think, like, if that post was the plot of an episode of Criminal Minds, I would sit there and be like, this is too far-fetched. Like, this is too far for, like, these shows. It just seems so insane to me.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
But the last Kento one, anyway. I'm too sexy or like a bird.
Get rid of like a bird.
Yeah, I literally think, what do you mean by like a bird for a solid 10 minutes when I saw this question? I'm like, oh, that shitty Nelly Furtado song. And then I'm too sexy. As soon as you say it, you start singing it in your head. Like, yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, sure, I'll go with that then. Oh, no, like, I'm not overly passionate about this one. But that was a great set of questions, Kento. I actually think...
Quite quick.
I actually think we Am I right in saying we...
I think we're only around 20, 25 minutes. That's good
that's
for
solid,
us.
Lad. Well done.
That's good for us. Progress.
So next question. At Rovers are back. Declan asks, probably more Rick Katie question because of the age. But no, have any of you or anyone you know completed a Premier League sticker book? Me and my friends would always have the same swap, so we never did complete it. Well, Katie, obviously you're the big football fan here, so...
I did actually collect these. But I never finished a book because too many fights broke out in school and everyone got their stickers and stuff confiscated and then it just died down and we moved on to Pogs, I think, was the,
yes!
the general gist of that. And then Pogs got banned and it was a vicious cycle.
You're remembering that, right? And then it was like Tamagotchis.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like with the cards and with the Pogs, you would do things like play the game where you throw them against the wall and whoever got closest to the wall, then you won your opponent's card. Like, and... I remember a lot of scraps breaking out over that game in particular and like people getting cheated, people robbing off each other. It was like the Wild West in the playground. So I think they just said no more football stickers and took them all off us.
It's fair.
I think that's what happened, yeah.
It's like I give up on things like that I don't really, really care about that much. I give up on things easily. Like if you tell me a riddle, I'm like... I don't know. Tell me what it is. Do you know what I mean? So if something's difficult and I don't really care about it, I'll just give up. And that was me with Premier League stickers. So I'd like try it hard for the... Like, it's like Fantasy Premier League now. I'll try hard for the first month or two. And then if I'm not like winning the whole thing, I'm like, I don't care anymore. Like that. That's the way I was with Premier League stickers. So no, I didn't complete one. We had people in the chat did. Who else is there? Adam completed, Keith completed the 98 one, only one he ever finished. Jonathan Nolan was just missing, Francis Jeffers. And who collected football stickers? Match Attacks was where it was at. Match Attacks, yeah, it was
that's what I was gonna say. Match Attacks from my era. I remember like in school, yeah, it was pretty heavy shit, but it wasn't really, you weren't really trying to complete it. You know what I mean? It was more just you wanted the best cards because you could like compete. You know what I mean?
You could play.
Yeah, stickers didn't have stats. It was just, you just had them. Am I right in saying?
Yeah, you tried to complete the book and then you'd swap with your mates so you'd get a sticker that you didn't have and they'd get one. Yeah.
I remember
Pokemon cards was the next thing in that list. Pokemon cards were really popular.
I remember my friend this is like the big City fan and this is like back in 2003, like really young, and he had this Premier League sticker book collection. I remember him showing me the whole City squad. My teeth are fucking shite. It would have fucked any of these lads. That's why I only remember you about the Premier League stickers.
I found the box because we're doing some clear outs at home and I found the box. Like, that's where I found. I don't know if you saw, we're talking about the fake football jerseys I had. I found all of the old ones that I had, including the old Fiorentina Nintendo one. But like, what was it? I found my old Match Attacks. Like during the week, I'll post a picture of them before because I think I'm just going to throw them out. Jay completed 2003 with David Bellion and Emmanuel Pogatez. He picked it up at the RDS workshop. So I think it was already completed. But yeah, no, so excellent question.
I do have one Ga sticker in my room of some random Ga player from Cavan.
Just one?
There's a Ga sticker book.
I mean, it must have been. It's just a sticker on its own. I don't know where I got it from. It's just there, alone, by itself, in my room. And I don't know who he is. Some lad from who played for Cavan probably back, like, over, like, 15 years ago now, probably.
It doesn't have his name on it.
Oh, it does, but I forget it.
Hell, he's in your room, like, constantly.
Well, I mean, it's just, oh, my room's a mess. It's just there somewhere, like.
He's just aware that it's in there.
Point afterwards. Try and find him.
Oh, they used to host the swap shop at the RDS for people to get the stick. I can't believe it was that big.
That's mad.
They rented out the RDS and that shit sold. Like, people would have to buy tickets for that. Like, that'd have to be an independently run thing, like Low Blows.
Was it literally just football stickers? Or was it like a Comic-Con type thing?
They probably I don't know.
It was pure football stickers, yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah, that's mental.
That's deadly. Well, yeah, thanks for the question, Declan. At Simpsons WWE, was the Deep planning to Troy McClure that Dolphin in The Boys? Katie, please help me.
So first of all, what we need to establish here is everybody should be watching The Boys.
Okay.
It is on Amazon Prime and it is honestly gate-crashed my top five TV shows of all time.
Oh,
funny or is it like a drama?
It's got funny moments. Like, I won't give away any spoilers, but it's a superhero show. But the premise is the superheroes are bad. Right. And they're all signed to giant corporations and it's that's the gist of it.
I've heard of this.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The Deep is a superhero who can talk to fish. So there's a group called the Seven, and they're like the seven most powerful superheroes who are signed to the big corporation. And they're like rock stars. They're superstars. They're your like they're all Michael Jordan basically in the TV show. And it's so good. But the Deep can talk to fish. That's his superpower.
Right.
So I only got the Troy McClure reference when I asked Rick before the show, and after having it explained to me, yes, I absolutely do think he was going to Troy McClure that fish. He's a very questionable relationship with mammals. But is it okay because of a superhero? I don't know. It's a moral gray area.
Did you ever watch that movie? What was it? The Shape of Water?
I've heard of it. I could not bring myself to watch it.
It's like, it's not until afterwards. Like, you actually watch it and you're like, I'm okay with this.
That she fell in love with a fish.
Like, yeah, like she has sex. There's sex scenes.
That's...
And they even get into, like, the house and stuff like that.
That's insane.
Like, they're what, like, what happens?
That?
And then
that won an Oscar.
Yeah, it won the best picture.
Katie is not very happy. I know you can't see it right now, but she's not very happy.
Like horror movies don't even get into consideration.
Yeah,
for these kind of Oscars. Like, Get Out is one of the best films it's been of the last 10 years. Not even a consideration. But
that was nominated.
Was it nominated?
Yeah,
but they would never have given it to a horror film.
Yeah,
I think Silence of the Lambs is the only horror film. Maybe Rosemary's Baby. Did that win?
I don't
Very
think so.
Few and far between for horror
the
movies.
The Babadook should have got in as well.
Why do we make our own Oscars? Daily.
They have the Razzies, which is the worst. Like, the worst movies of the year.
Keen, you'd have to watch movies.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I'm just saying, like, you could do it. You know what I mean?
Guillermo del Toro made it, so that explains why you got an Oscar. Yeah, that makes sense. It was his time.
It's mental, though. But honestly, The Boys, can't recommend it enough. Season 2 is dropping in, like, 4 weeks. It is amazing.
Okay.
Like, I love it.
You've actually sold me on that. I want to watch that movie, because I did hear that they were superheroes as children, and they got co-opted, did they?
Yeah. It's the world is similar to ours, but there's enough twists that it's like a really fresh take on superheroes.
So kind of like, I know you weren't a big fan of it, but Watchmen was very similar, where it's like a parallel world.
Yeah, like a parallel
It's like
world.
It doesn't share our history, but it is similar.
Yeah.
Like, you can relate to it, but yeah, I get it. Interesting. Okay, yeah, I probably will end up watching that.
Well, thank you for the question. At Spudino 90, €1 million, but you can't enjoy your favorite of anything ever again. So if McDonald's is your favorite fast food, can't eat it. You can still go to Burger King if that's your second favorite, but you can't get your favorite thing on the Burger King menu, etc. If football is your favorite sport, you can't watch it anymore, but you can watch the NFL if it's your second favorite, but you couldn't watch the Steelers if they were your favorite NFL team, and so on. You're still allowed to see your favorite people, though. That's question number one. Absolutely fucking not. No, I don't take that money. No way.
No, and there's a reason. Usually this is towards the main event, but like, yeah, I figured this would be like something that we're all fairly set on. This is easy. This is like, again, like, it's only €1 million. It's not fuck you money. It's like, it's, I can buy a house and some nice things and have a bit of comfort.
But your favorite house.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, this is an easy
one. You're just not enjoying life at that point.
Yeah.
And then something becomes your favorite and then it'll probably get banned.
And then you have to go back to your second favorite. It's just like permanently, like, it's human nature to have a favorite. So you're just torturing yourself constantly.
You have to skip all your favorite wrestlers matches. You can only watch like matches you kind of like. You can't watch your favorite match of the night, but you can watch like the rest of the matches. You know what I mean?
That's horrible.
That's such a, you have to, like, imagine you're at a show and it's like walk out before the main event or something like that. You know what I mean? Or like,
imagine
just
watching the Royal Rumble pay per view and turning it off before the Royal Rumble.
There's one little examples of why this is such a horrible
or like
idea.
Now there's two, so it's like you have to watch the shit Royal Rumble. You have to watch the warm up one.
Yeah,
whichever one is the worst Royal Rumble is the one you can watch. And everyone else is like, well, you're trying to say the other one, and it's actually, like, ah, well, the first one was kind of cool.
what if it's like you can watch your second favorite Rumble of the night, but your favorite wrestler's in it?
Then you can't watch. You just have to watch the fucking undercard where no matches matter.
That's Sheamus and Shorty G in that pre-show. What do you think?
Yeah, you're that guy who fell asleep but still wants to be in the conversation.
Piss easy. Thank you for the question, though, Chris. The other question he asked, actually. Also, I know you limit it to one question per person. Would you ask someone to ask what NBA team should Katie Harvey support? A few weeks back, and no one did, so I'm asking now. The Celtics.
Why? Pitch it to me.
Because Celtic, like.
Because they're vaguely Irish.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the whole.
There's a leprechaun in their logo.
Now, I will admit, you're not the first person to say that to me.
Oh, there you go.
A few people have been like, well, they're closest to Irish. But, like.
Well, think about it like this. You like long, long flights.
Why?
Because if you were to go to an NBA, let's just say you're on a flight to your favorite NBA team. So you get mad into NBA and you're like, I want to go to the NBA match, yeah?
Right.
Would you rather, like, what's it, a 5 or 6 hour flight? Or would you rather a big fuck off flight to like California?
Now, this sounds mad, but I did actually consider this because my big holiday this year, I wanted to go to New York and then fly down to Idaho to see my friend.
You can stop off at Boston.
Or I could go see the Knicks.
Not our shit. Go Boston.
Knicks are shit. They're totally irrelevant.
But yeah, I really like New York.
Madison Square Garden, though, you'll always have that. So,
but then the other argument I heard of someone was like, well, you got into NBA because of the Bulls, so you should support the Bulls.
No, that's a person trying to wind you up. The Bulls are terrible now.
But they're now supporting the Bulls.
They shouldn't. They're wrong. They've signed themselves up for a life of torture.
And then I have another friend who's supporting the Raptors.
Raptors are a really good follow.
Not as good as Celtics, though.
The Raptors are... Oh, I think the Raptors are... I prefer the Raptors to the Celtics.
Then do I like the celebrity pull of the Lakers?
No.
Do I like the cool name of the Utah Jazz?
What other sports teams do you like? You like Man City? Okay.
Yeah, and they have an affiliate in New York.
Okay, but what other sports teams do you like? So I'll infuse the personal, because people tend to like the same type of sports teams. Keane likes anything to do with Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you like, you support teams in
there
the championship.
There is literally like a Chilean team. O'Higgins, I'm like, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. That's Keane's running team.
Like interesting characters. So like, if there was a Dennis Rodman on the team, I'd be like, yeah, sold. I'm gonna.
The Celtics have
what?
Nah, they don't really.
I was hoping.
They just have good players. The Celtics are good. Like, they're a good follow.
I was hoping you'd say someone and be like, see?
No, they don't. There's no one really interesting.
I love underdog stories.
They have the most interesting guy on the Celtics. The Celtics team is a guy called Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward, what a man.
Whoa, you don't know. Be careful. Be careful.
No, I don't know who he is.
Be careful. He's a white dude who has a lot of opinions about Black Lives Matter.
Oh, no.
And he's not.
No.
He's not racist. He's just that guy who's like trying a bit hard. And he just comes in with like, he's just a, I'm just asking questions guy.
Oh, no.
And it's like, no, but he's not a racist. Realistically, you can't be a basketball player and a racist. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's infused with that culture. Like, that's why Black Lives Matter is such a huge thing. But like, he says things awkwardly and it's like, Gordon, just, you're not the guy. You're not the guy for this topic. And he's the most interesting guy. It's a white guy called Gordon is the most interesting person on the Celtics.
I have someone better than that. Who's there?
They're not. They're just good players. There's not a striker.
I wish the Monstars were a real team.
Toronto Raptors are a good team. They won the NBA championship last year. Lost their best player, Kawhi Leonard, who may be the best player in the league now, and somehow stayed just as good because they just have a plucky team spirit. Like, if you like team spirit, good guys, like underdogs, but they work together for the will of the team, and they've got a lot of young talent and stuff like that. They've got a really likable fan base, and then there's Drake's in there too.
But they're Canadian, right? So it's probably just real, like,
They're nice. Brand. They're sound.
And they're miles away.
They're
also
the champions.
Oh, I bet Erasmus has.
Yeah, you, exactly.
You want a bit? Celtic. Right. If you like, perfect. If you like, if you like Man City, so Man City.
But, I don't even really like Man City. I'm just forced to by my situation.
Okay, so other teams you like? Okay, so you like celebrity kind of?
Yeah, I'm so, trash at heart.
Okay, so
what's the trashiest
the Lakers. The Lakers are the trashiest team, and they're also Man City because they bought all their success. they were a shit team a couple of years ago. Now they're the most successful team in NBA history on one hand, but then they just went to shit when Kobe Bryant retired, and they've been shit ever since. But they've got the celebrity pull. Jack Nicholson sits in the front row of every game, yeah, and is obsessed, and they have loads of celebrity fans. It's what they're known for, but they've got the gone to shit. But because they're such big celebrities and they're in LA, and LeBron has a Hollywood career, LeBron signed for them. They are like they're a reality TV show more than a basketball team, though.
See, that does appeal to me. But
yeah,
I want to stay on the East Coast. I don't know. I just feel like supporting an East Coast team is what's best for me right
East
now.
East Coast teams. The Miami Heat are decent.
Keith Andy, Katie has Lakers written all over. Am I that easy to read?
Yeah, yeah. I think Lakers are. DiCaprio's in the front row as well. For Lakers, Jimmy pointed
Philadelphia
out.
Philadelphia 76ers. I like Philadelphia.
They are very Philadelphian. They're a hot mess. They're a hot mess. What's that?
Does Wyoming have a basketball team?
No.
I just thought it'd be funny.
Wyoming Tigers. Hurrah.
Or like, it's like middle states where nothing's really going on.
Utah Jazz.
So they'd be like the Leitrim.
Yeah, the Utah Jazz are very much the, but they're kind of good as well. Like,
I think football is kind of the god in Middle America, isn't it? College football,
especially. Yeah, that's very true.
Maybe I just have to actually start watching the games and pick a favorite.
Do you know the best way to follow the NBA season is don't watch now. Although there is interesting stuff going on now, like the NBA is like, so for the example this weekend, they're very into obviously Black Lives Matter. And it was actually, I'm an Orlando Magic fan. Do not follow them. Like, I'm happy I followed them because like I was there for the good times back in the late 90s and stuff like that. Like, now they're trash. They're like, the problem with them is they're a mid-table team, which you don't want to be in the NBA because there's no benefits. If you're a mid-table team in football, you get to stay in the Premier League. You know what I mean? So you're still going to earn money year on year. In the NBA, you don't get relegated. So you either want to be the best team or you want to be the worst team, because if you're the worst team, you get the first pick of the next generation. So you have this game changing player. But if you're in the middle, you don't get a good pick. You're not going to rebuild. You have no future. You're just stuck.
That is so depressing.
It really is. It's soul destroying. So don't be an Orlando Magic fan. Though I like how I do want to go to Orlando, and there's wrestling there now. I want to go to Disney World and Harry Potter and all of that, and then I'll go catch it in there. So that's like my dream holiday.
That's a good point, actually. Where would you want to like just visit?
You don't want to visit Philly.
You do
want to visit Boston.
New York was, this so is good. Why I was like...
The Brooklyn Nets. They have potential to be... They have... Kevin Durant is their big signing. He hasn't played for them, though, because he's been injured, okay? So the Brooklyn Nets are... And they have Kyrie Irving as well, who is one of the best players in the league, but keeps getting transferred because he's such a hot mess human.
That sounds right up my alley, actually.
Kevin Durant started fake Twitter accounts where he used to like post anonymously going, "I think Kevin Durant's the best player," and he was found out. And he's also like possibly the best basketballer. He might be better than LeBron.
That's amazing.
He is ridiculously like petty and competitive like that, but he's also kind of likable as well. Like, you don't hate him. He's not pathetic. Like,
I just want someone entertaining.
Like the Brooklyn Nets, if you want New York plus an actual team that you can get behind that might win something within the next few years, but also like a bit of a hot mess, the Brooklyn Nets are a good show. And Kevin, Brooklyn is the cool part of New York now. So like it's
the other part?
Manhattan.
There's Queens and there's Long Island. Staten Island and Long Island.
No, I mean like where the other basketball team is.
New York would be, that would be Manhattan. Madison Square Garden. Like the kind of main area.
So, like, they play basketball in there, like, where all the scraps happen.
Yeah, this is true.
You know what I love to do, right? If I want to look up someone, right, I always look up is so-and-so, and then I let Google auto-finish just so I can get the gist of them. So I just typed in, is Kevin Durant injured, retired, playing tonight, dead? So that's what people are asking about Kevin Durant right now.
Kevin Durant, like this, I think this could be a winning team. The Brooklyn Nets as well, like, have no players. So the NBA now, Chris points out, anyone else think the NBA setup in Disney makes it look like a video game? It does, but it actually kind of works. So it actually works very well. They pipe in audience, but it's not fake sounding like football. It's not insincere, because a lot of the NBA audiences could just be video game audiences anyway, because it's like, defense, and it responds to like the sound clips in the background. So it's not actually like cheesy. It's like, it's just the background noise you're used to. But that's kind of fake sounding anyway.
The background noise is cheesy anyway.
Yeah, but you're used to it, so it's fine. But
that's
like
why the MLS is the absolute king of all football leagues. Because like, it takes football, but it also adds in the cringy American fans. So you've got like, move, bitch, get off the pitch. Could you imagine, like...
But then you have... So at the moment, what they have is they're living in a bubble. They're literally living... Like, it's bubble ball is what it's being called. Like, they're living in a coronavirus, like, a COVID bubble where, like, everyone is living in Disneyland now.
Really?
Yeah, and they built special courts. Well, the Walt Disney Resort. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like, but they're living in the Walt Disney Resort in Florida. And, like, they're only allowed leave for, like, very, like, specific circumstances, like family emergencies and stuff like that. And then they have to isolate if they come back in and stuff. It's literally
a
bubble.
So how long are they away from their families then?
Like, 3-4 months. Like,
can their families go in the bubbles?
Yeah, they can. They're living in hotels, like.
They wanted to do this for the NFL as well, didn't they?
It's not feasible with the NFL. There's way too many people. Yeah. So this is like 12-man rosters, but like in the NFL, there's 53-man rosters.
Yeah, I remember. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about considering that for the NFL.
They'll consider any option, but like it's not realistic for the NFL. It's just there's too many people moving parts. Like it's just a huge game in general. But this is actually working. And like they have, instead of audiences, they have like a wall of fans. So like there's fans that are recording themselves like on Zoom at home, and like they're on the wall, but it's not shit. Like it's it like if you hear them to interior, like this,
yeah,
gonna
it
be
sound
so
good,
bad.
But
it actually all kind of works. Like, and even like the Black Lives Matter stuff is coming in, and that's powerful. But there's already stories around it now. Like for example, the Orlando Magic, Jonathan Isaac, chose not to stand or not to kneel with everyone. He was the first player to choose not to kneel. Now he's a black guy himself, do you know what I mean? But he chose not to kneel, but he also chose not to wear the t-shirt as well. Like everyone's wearing the t-shirts and everyone's kneeling and he didn't. And apparently it's due to religion. It's an interesting argument he has, because obviously like he's not racist against black people. Like he is one, but like he has an interesting argument where he's like, I'm religious, and I think if we demonize other people, we're just as bad as them. Do you know what I mean? So he's like, I believe we should have independent thought and not force people to. And it's an interesting argument when you hear it. I don't agree with it, but it's starting different conversations and so on. What I do if I were you though is the Brooklyn Nets, have a look. The Nets or the Lakers, I think, are your teams, and you can follow both of them because one's Eastern, one's Western Conference.
Oh no, don't be like that. Don't be like that.
No, but like I have a favorite team, like Orlando Magic. They're my team above all else.
Yeah.
But an awful lot of time they're not in the playoffs. So like I'll always, and the playoffs is like almost the second season because that lasts a couple months. So like I'll have like a playoff team, but that'll vary year to year based on who I like.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's not like a second team. It's just whoever you want to win in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So you can have like a team. You can have a favorite team, and they're your actual team. But then there's a team you also like kind of like too. You know, so you could. I think those two are your teams. Have a look into them and see how you feel. If I was following it though, it's very. There's a lot going on. Like every playoff game is best of seven. So there's a lot of content that you have to do. I would tune in around the conference finals. And don't worry, I'll let you know before they're happening. Like, it's about to start in September. Because then it's down to four teams left. And you can get to know the teams individually and then know the stakes. Whereas now there's so many games with so many teams that it's going to be very disorientating and very confusing and very hard to follow. The NBA is hard to follow enough as it is. But, like, when you condense it down to four or two teams, then it's very easy because there's limited amount of storylines.
Yeah, see, The Last Dance made me feel like I could understand everything at once because, like, it was so well told.
Exactly.
And it's like they went through, like, the best of seven and, like...
Hang on.
So there are, like, right now in the league, there are, like, 40 of those different narratives at play.
Okay,
and because it's all at play at the same time, you don't know which one is actually going to be relevant. So if you follow it, like, at the very end of the season when it's down to four teams... You're like, right, I get it. It's this team against this team, and it's this team against this team. This is the storyline of this, and this is the storyline of this. And then the winners play. And then that'll sell you on basketball and get you to learn about it as you go. That'd be the way I'd follow it personally. It's just the easiest way to take it in and learn about it. Because the game itself can be hard to watch at times too. There's a lot going on, and you don't really know how to watch it at first because it's so quick and there's so many, like...
Yeah, I tried looking up highlights of basketball to try to get into it, but like it seems like the whole match is kind of a highlight. So I kind of have to watch all of it, but I don't have time to watch all of it.
Yeah, and then there's the argument that only the fourth quarter matters. Like there's people who literally watch the fourth quarter of basketball games.
Oh shit, that's a great idea. I'll do that.
But also as well, do you know in basketball you're not meant to watch the player who has the ball?
I know, but I will though.
Yeah, but that's the point. But then you don't see what's going on.
The plays are more interesting, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it's like the... what they're doing off the ball, who's marking who and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's also, you kind of have to understand it to watch it. And then you have to get used to it to watch it. So it's kind of like, you almost have to have like people point it out to you.
Yeah.
Tell well, you stuff to
I've
look
been
for.
Playing basketball, so like,
yeah?
I'm getting much better at the rules and stuff.
Yeah.
I have a basketball question. Is it true that Chicago were told not to bother showing up because they're shit? I heard that they like there was a team. It might have been Chicago, but somebody was told like you're not going to win, so don't bother showing up.
I like how they've kind of spun it that way. No, the only teams that were brought into the bubble for safety reasons were the 22 teams out of the 30 who still have a chance of making the playoffs.
So they literally were told you're too shit.
Everyone else, the bottom eight teams who don't have a chance to make the playoffs, it's like we're not going to ask you to isolate from your families
for a mid-table finish. Like
for you've nothing left to play for.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, it was like, and even then. They could have like written it off because the season is 82 games. Like, so they could have just written it off. So like they pretty much had the playoffs set. Like it's very convoluted. Like a lot of people are saying they've just brought it back in because there's one player who's still theoretically, who's like the next LeBron, they're saying, and he still theoretically could make the playoffs. So they like were like, let's finish the regular season. And it's like, you just want Zion to get into the playoffs. You just want to see if he'll get in. Like, but, like, yeah, there's a lot going on right now, and it's going to be very hard to kind of...
And then they have the All-Star Games where they just pick the best.
The All-Star Games are great crack. It's like NBA All-Star Games are the one game, like the Charity Shield or anything where it's just an exhibition game that's actually interesting. Because, yeah, it's they have two captains, and they pick their players. They pick their teams. Yeah, they pick the teams, like, yeah. So it's... it is good, but that's already happened for this season, so that'll be next season. Like, no, I'd follow around the conference finals.
Okay.
So it's like, do you remember it was like Jordan had to beat the Indiana Pacers and stuff, and then he played the Lakers in the finals or the Utah Jazz. Like, the Indiana Pacers was the Eastern Finals, and then the Utah Jazz were the Western champions, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? So that'd be the point I'd check in, because then it's easy to follow and you can get invested very quickly. Now I think you'd probably get disorientated. And that's nothing to do with you. I just think...
If
anyone joined in now, it'd be like, there's way too much going on. Like, I'm just trying to learn the rules.
I want to get into NBA, NHL, and... NFL as well. I'll probably give a chance if I can find, you know, highlights on YouTube. But yeah, there's a lot. Like, American sports are mad. They really, and it's what's mad about it as well. They've no relegations or tiers, so it's just everyone's facing each other, and there's a lot of matches. And I'm like, okay. Well, I hate the way there's no like relegations. I think like relegations, like in football, relegations gives everyone something to play for then, because you're fighting for survival. And like, for example, on the last day of the Premier League, I shouldn't have given a shit about Aston Villa and Bournemouth, but I was. That's what I was like, oh, shit, you know what I mean? Aston Villa are trying to stay up.
You have to draft. So the last team gets the first pick.
So you want to finish last?
Yeah.
If you're not going to come first, you want to finish last.
And then you've got teams who tank and deliberately will play shit towards the end of the season when they realise. So then you've got two teams trying to have the worst record.
What?
Yeah.
So...
Like, tanking is a thing.
So they all go for own goals and all, do they?
No, they don't. They can't do it deliberately. The players don't want to lose, but the organization want them to lose. So, like, the coach doesn't want to lose because the coach would be out of a job if they're really shit. So the players are trying, but the organization are going, yeah, I think that best player is, I think he's injured. And it's like, he's not. He's fine. And so it's like, it's interesting. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
That sounds like a mess. I don't like that.
No, it's fun. It is fun. It gives a character.
Yeah.
John Nolan got on said the Wyoming Paddle Cats. Sean McGovern said the Brooklyn Nets are looking like they might get somewhere this season or next. Keehaney said Jack Nicholson had it written into his Batman contract that he got every day the Lakers played off. College, everything is king. Football, basket, soccer, lacrosse. But the Lakers have Rondo, who's always the same as Kyrie. Also, the Nets are owned by Jay-Z.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, if that's an extra thing. I'm actually, Sean's more interested.
Why makes me laugh so much?
I've got 99 problems, but the bitch ain't one.
I'm actually more interested in the NHL at the moment. I think if I live in the States, I'd watch hockey over the other American major sports. See, even America feels differently. Hockey's more a Canadian thing.
Hockey's solid. Boston Bruins all day. Am I right, lads? Am I right?
Jimmy said, went to a game in Madison Square Garden. The noise pumped in insanely loud. Does Katie have an NFL or MLS team?
What's an MLS?
Just say Seattle Sounders.
Seattle Sounders.
Yeah.
But what is it?
It's a football team.
But like, what's the MLS?
Major League Soccer.
Oh, then it's not. No, then it's New York City.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Why'd you pick them?
Because they're an affiliate of Man City.
Oh, yeah, right, that's fair enough.
Jimmy said one of the great Lobos moments was the random Game 7 overlap in the Woolshed when Cleveland won. So it was the same time as Money in the Bank. Cleveland were great for back in the day. LeBron played for Cleveland. He originally was drafted to them. And you never get drafted to your hometown club, because a draft is, you don't decide where you want to play. It's literally like the team go, I've got the first pick. You're the best player. You're on my team. You know what I mean? But Cleveland, where LeBron is from, happened to have the first pick when he was in the draft.
Oh, nice.
So he ended up playing for his hometown team. And the problem was, they were last for a reason. They were shit. And he couldn't get anywhere with them. He couldn't win the league with them. Like, he carried them to one NBA finals in like four seasons. And like, even then, they just weren't able to compete because it was him against the best team, the other best team in the league. He moved to Miami to try, and like, he built a super team there. So when he was out of contract, he built a super team with like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, other huge NBA players, and they agreed to all move to Miami together. Then after he finished in Miami, he moved back to Cleveland, where he had more control because he won championships now and he was the alpha dog in the league, not just a young kid anymore. They went 3-1 down against the Golden State Warriors, who were like, they dominated the league for like years.
Where are they from?
San Francisco. So they're a good team. Like, if you're traveling wise, they're in a really nice spot, and they're a good team. Also, as well, you're not jumping on the bandwagon if you're joining them, even though they've won 4 of the last 5 championships. So like, they're a good follow too, but I don't know if they suit you, Katie.
I didn't care for San Francisco when I was there.
Okay. Katie Harvey shoots on San Francisco.
Yeah. Jeez. The Golden State Warriors, yeah, they were playing them. Golden State beating them 3-1. No team had ever come back from 3-1 down in the NBA Finals. Kevin Love, who was like LeBron's number 2 at Cleveland, is a big wrestling fan. Okay, he started to wear Undertaker t-shirts to this. And then before the games, I've probably told you this before, before the games, they started playing the Undertaker's theme song when they came out dead, or like, because they're dead in the water and everyone believes they're dead and they're going to come back from the dead. Then they won, they went 3-2. Then they went 3-3 and everyone's like, this has never happened before. They can't. They're not going to win 3 games against the Golden State freaking Warriors. Cut to the night of Money in the Bank. We're in the Woolshed for that party. There's also an NBA Finals night on in Ned's Bar in the back of the Woolshed. And then like, it's like a shitty match between like Rusev and like Wade Barrett where nobody cares about. So we all just bail into the NBA room where it is bedlam because LeBron is leading a comeback and they win a historic one. He wins one in Cleveland, which he'd never done before. It was the most historic moments in NBA, and we're all just in there, yeah. And then we had to come back out and be like, oh yeah, wrestling's on.
See, that's the kind of thing I want to get behind. Like, I love that. Like, I was getting excited listening to that story. So like,
this is the thing. Basketball is great for that shit. Like, there's always story. This is like 2015, I think.
Mad.
2015, 16. Yeah, yeah, it was amazing. And the Cavs, yeah, there we go. So look, I think Brooklyn and LA are two that you should look into and see. Okay, the Lakers. So,
long story short, Celtics. well, thank you for the questions. Jeez, that ended up probably being longer than Kent does.
I'm so happy.
I'm in a real like basketball mood now. I just want to go watch it.
Yeah. Do you have NBA 2K20?
Yeah.
I have it too.
We'll play games sometimes. I got it now, the PSN Plus.
I actually battered Nathan around on it by like 28 points, something like that. Just trying out there.
Phil got it so I could learn about the teams.
There you go.
I tried setting up a career mode. I was like, I'll be an expert at basketball by the end of this. And after the first game, I'm like, leave me alone. I don't want to
know this. But, like, I didn't realize sports games had storylines and stuff. Like, I was watching them play Madden, I think it was, and there was this whole long run storyline. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, this is deadly. Like, this is what I'd be. This is like the fucking Sims, you know, something like that with a storyline. So maybe I'll try it.
We got to do Low Blows NBA night sometime.
At Killer CW, with COVID hitting wrestling hard, where do you see the industry being in 5 years' time?
Oh, I actually forgot this is a wrestling podcast.
Where do I see the basketball industry in 5 years' time? What did you mention? No, I think it's hard to kind of... I mean, 5 years ago, you never would have saw, like, AEW or, you know what I mean, anything like that popping up. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, what year... 2015 was 5 years ago, yeah? Mm. So, like... You wouldn't have imagined all the stuff we have now 5 years ago. So it's impossible to really say 2025, what are we looking at? I don't know. A lot of people are saying that, like, ratings are declining. Like, Raw's ratings have been really shit, apparently. But I think it's gonna go away. I don't think it's going to, like, die or anything. I don't know. What do you think, anyway?
WWE will have been sold.
If it was going to be that bad, like, in 5 years?
No, I think someone's going to buy out WWE.
Oh, you think it's going to happen?
I think, 5 years from now, I think WWE will have been sold. Like, Disney will own it. And, like, they'll actually probably come back with that. Like in the same way the UFC was sold. Do you know what I mean? Like, Triple H will probably still run it. But, like, I think they're going to sell.
You think that would happen while Vince is alive?
I don't know. Or, like, maybe when he's, like, it could happen within the next year. Like, it's something which, like, was spoken about a couple of years ago. We're like, nah. And it hasn't gone away. It hasn't gone away. And it's just, like, it's something which now they don't even answer on conference calls. They're kind of like, yeah, well, there's a lot of options that are open to us. So I think it's something where it's, like, no smoke without fire. I think, like, I don't think Disney, I think NBC will. I think, like, Comcast will, because, like, they work together for the XFL and they run the network that Raw's on. So I think NBC will buy them out.
Conglomerates are the most confusing fucking things. We studied it in college, like, last year, yeah? And, like, you know, like, you're talking about Disney and NBC and all that. There's so many. Like, even companies that you think are standalone companies are actually just Disney. It's Disney. So it's hard to keep track of all these things. Like,
I think...
Where do you see AEW? Where do you see, like, local wrestling, all that sort of stuff?
See, I think we're going to end for a lull now.
Yeah.
I just think with COVID, I think with everything going on in the world, I just don't think there's the same energy and passion there for wrestling right now. I think people need a little bit of a break, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think in a year, it'll start picking up steam again.
I think fan bases need to re-energize. Yeah. I think everyone goes through a cycle. Like, this is, and like, you've seen this play out before. I've seen it play out a couple of times, like, even in Ireland. You have your fans you stay around who've been fans 20 years ago. They watched Irish Whip Wrestling and NWA Ireland back in the day. Mm. But they're, like, few and far between, and a lot of them are newer fans. And I think this generation of wrestling, I think... You can only commit to, like, going to every show. Do you know, like, Rob Harman always puts up, like, show 57 of the year. I know, obviously, you can't do it this year and so on. But, like, do you know what I mean? You can only do that for a limited time in your life. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I remember when I went to Japan and I was like, I'm doing this now because I want to be married in 10 years. And I don't think my missus would, like, take too well to me going, yeah, I'm going to leave around Christmas time to go to Japan by myself and go see loads of wrestling. I don't think I can leave, like, a family to do that. So, like, I think people, like, have that intense fandom for, like, a certain amount of time. Then they kind of just go off for a while or go to separate directions or explore other interests for a while. They'll probably stick around and keep loosely interested in it. Maybe when it comes back, they'll be back in it, because you do see, like, long-term fans and so on. And that's not to say that nobody does it, but I think in terms of, like, the intense like of the business, I think people need a break now, and they need to re-energize. And I think now it's just at the stage where this kind of era has kind of just played out. It's kind of... People are, like, you know, they start to go their separate directions, and it just needs a rebuild now, where it's like, right, okay, let's all just kind of take a minute. We've been going very hard for years now. Let's, and kind of overachieving on the scene. Let's take a minute, and then in a year from now, we'll all feel energized again.
Three-hour episodes of Raw Underground, I think, is the correct answer to this.
That's
question.
What's going to happen. Yeah, there you go.
Imagine Eric Rowan on Raw Underground. Oh man, if you think Eric from the Viking Raiders looks slick, imagine Eric Rowan. He's like, he's literally like two Erics put into one. Like,
yeah.
But yeah. I think it's... Well, here's my heart now. Yeah, I genuinely don't know what to base any of my predictions on. I think...
Exactly. We don't know.
I think it'd be deadly. I think it'd be popping. What about you, Kate? Do you have any...
That's it. I just think we are going to... I think we're all going to watch basketball for the next year. And I think then wrestling's going to slowly rebuild and pick itself up and then... We'll be back watching.
In terms of wanting a break, we forgot we were on a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
Like minutes ago. And then we're like, oh yeah, wrestling. I don't think a lot of people feel that way.
It doesn't scare me either because you said, we've been through this. Like, this is not the first time I've taken a couple of months off watching wrestling. Mm. And what I did last time is it re-energized my love for it. So it's not a bad thing. Like,
Yeah. It'll be good in the long run. Because again, like if like we originally considered, say, when Irish Whip was on TV and stuff like that, we're like, this is the glory. Like I was part of that generation. We're like, this is never going to go away. It's too big. It's too big to go away. And then but if that had kept going, we wouldn't have had OTT. We needed it to die down for people to get new ideas and for something big to be built up. Now, that's not to say that the same people won't just be the next thing to build up the ideas. Like, now OTT is huge, so I don't think that's going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? They probably just will come up with new ideas and refresh and stuff, but I think that everyone needs a refresh now, where it's just like, all right, let's just rethink it. We've done very well. We've played a perfect game for a long time. Do you know what I mean? Let's just now we need to just come up with a new plan. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of the way it's going to go locally.
5 years, yeah, 5 years is just too long. It's just too long. You can't.
Yeah. There's no way. There's no way.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, nonetheless. Killer. At Wolf of the Borough, Jay asks, based off last week's praise for Batista's original music, what are your other favorite alternative old music for a wrestler? I love Randy Orton's "Burning My Light" and Triple H's "My Time." This is a fucking great question.
Excellent.
I was actually just listening to CM Punk's old song yesterday. I thought Killswitch Engage. I thought that one was better. Cult of Personality played his role and it made him look like a star. But I fucking love the Killswitch Engage one. Then you also AJ Styles is another wrestler who, he has a good song. But it's mad to think he has so many songs and they're all much better. Get Ready to Fly. I Am Great to Fly. And Impact, you've also got his Ring of Honor one. Demigods, I think it's called. It's a banger. So AJ Styles and CM Punk are the first two names that pop into my head, but there's a lot.
Edge, Rob Zombie. I'm not saying that it's better. I'm just saying it's actually a really good song. Because I just remember him coming out in 2002 and he was the young gun. And he's just coming out come on! And it's never gonna stop me! It was really cool.
Again, if we are including music from other promotions, Adam Cole, his Ring of Honor song is unreal. I've got something for you. No way. Banger.
Word Life.
Good show.
There was someone else. Oh, who was it? I did have one as soon as I read this question. Now I've forgotten it. I can't remember. It's going to come to me. I'm going to shout in 20
the
minutes.
The Disturbed Austin song.
I don't think I know that one.
That was awesome. It's the rock mix of his, it's Disturbed redoing his theme song.
Oh, I remember my one now. I don't know the one you're talking about, though. Dolph Ziggler's original one.
It's the exact same.
It's not. He had one before that.
I am perfection.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same.
No, that's not.
No, that's his old one.
That's his old one.
His new one is
I'm
here to show you.
Yeah, they're different. And also, The Miz had an original one that was brilliant. Before I came to play, what was it?
Taker's pre-ministry music, John.
What was that? I'm going to have to Google this.
Oh, do you know what?
Taker's ministry song. I loved it.
I love The Rock's 03 song with a big long intro. Do you know the one?
Yes.
The Hollywood Rock one. I really like that.
What else do we have?
Oh, there's a lot, man. I really wish I should. Well, if any of you have any other answers, keep going, because I'm just gonna look at the current roster and just see.
All of them are fantastic. Jeff Hardy's old song, No More Words.
No More Words, yeah. There's a lot more of these to realize. This is
Matt Hardy's Matt version one. Oh yeah. I can swim a tornado.
Oh, I suppose it's in AEW now, so that's his own music. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Let me see. Who do we have here?
X Factor.
Drew McIntyre, Broken Dreams. Much better.
X Factor, amazing. Eminem music, Sheamus' first team. What was Sheamus's? It's a shameful thing. You lost your head.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
A careless man, he winds up dead.
Oh, there's definitely another one here. I'm just trying to think. This is a really good question, actually. Holy shit.
Oh, God. I'm going to be singing that all night.
Let me see. Murphy, Mustafa Ali. Oh, Sheldon Benjamin. He has different music there.
Ain't no stopping me. No.
Well, I hear Sheldon Benjamin just taking his own song. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Christian has had some amazing songs.
Yes. Literally just like Christian. Because Christian! Just Close Your Eyes wasn't his original one, was it?
No.
That was an amazing song. Like, even, like, Tristan has sneaky love for, like, the generic in-between song with Christian, and it's a really good song.
Yeah.
It was like, dan 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 dan.
Yeah, I know, because Here Comes the Pain. But,
like, yeah, Just Close Your Eyes, amazing song, and then it's, alas, you're on your own. That was amazing. Sting's WCW and TNA teams.
Yeah, you see, any TNA 2008 song, you won me over instantly, you know what I mean?
Rey Mysterio, who that jumping out the sky, R-E-Y Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
That was in tandem. That was amazing.
Absolute. Social Outcast had an unreal.
Yes!
I'd seen Bo Dallas up there. Bo Dallas is still with WWE?
No, I thought he got...
No, he's still there on SmackDown.
Adam Rose is a good one. Like, the Low Blows theme is bait. We're like, the first thing you hear when you listen to this show is the Adam Rose theme song.
What?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, like, that's the background music for, like, the Low Blows Network Sting. Yeah.
Well, I never knew that.
Like, the whole first season of Low Blows was Don trying to get Adam Rose over, and it failed abysmally.
I'm still... Not a Fiend would have his current
Smoke and Mirrors, Cody Rhodes.
Yes, that's the one I was. That's an absolute shout.
Your own Latino Heat, Eddie Guerrero. Latino.
The Usos used to have some really good music. They still do, but they had some good music.
He got Maven over. Yeah, he did. You were like, Maven got over, if nothing else. From
Kofi Kingston.
Maven's theme song.
Did you hear the news with Maven?
What?
He hated that song. Everyone's all torn up about that.
Randy Orton hates his theme song as well. Or he hated his original one. That's why he changed it to Voices. Well. That's crazy to me.
Leo Rush hated I Came to Collect. Leo Rush's... I don't know.
Big
see,
show with Michael Hayes singing.
See, when you start going on to the indies, then you've got licensed songs, which don't really count. Like, well, no, they do actually, yeah.
The original Too Cool song, not Turn It Up. The one they used to dance to.
Yeah, I know the one you're on about.
I remember I was out like for a New Year's and they played that song. It was in McGowan's and I was like, oh my God. Best night ever. We could do this all day. This could be a whole show in itself. Like,
I never realized how many wrestlers get new music. I preferred Shinsuke's like first WWE song.
Yeah. But he changed it to go heel. If anything,
this is the other Shinsuke song.
Oh, you mean the New Japan one?
No, I meant his first one, WWE.
Oh, because I actually love his New Japan
DX
one.
DX
well.
Run the MC, what a tune. We did that in the Loblaws band. It was deadly.
Balor's Japanese music that we like.
Yes.
God, there are so many here. Oh, my God. Yeah, I haven't even gone to NXT. But, yeah. Isaiah Scott is missing Ain't Nobody. He's made missing that big time in WWE. So, any song that has kind of an impact on the character, you know what I mean? Like, when the entrance is a big part of it, I feel like the music deserves a lot of love.
The original Dudley's team.
Pete Dunne's OTT song, Bring Me the Horizon one. That,
yes.
That's, oh, that for me is like my first night in the team league for OTT. Like, that makes me, like, every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, shit.
Tune. We could go all night with this.
Yeah, we could.
Great question, Jay.
I'm excited about wrestling again.
Yeah, that's it. In one question, you just nostalgia always does it.
thank you for the question, Jay. At Slagmore 13, Chris asks, with the Rock basically becoming his character from Ballers in real life, buying the XFL, how should he run it now? In your opinions, mine is to make more teams, bring in owners to each team, but still run it as spring/summer football. This seems like a Rick question, but what I will say is. I would like them to continue interviewing footballers in the middle of the match. I never actually saw that, but it sounds hilarious. I also give the Seattle, no, what is it? The Battlehawks. Who are they again?
Battlehawks, yeah.
St. Louis Battlehawks?
St. Louis Battlehawks.
Yeah, St. Louis Battlehawks. Give them loads of money and the best players. Where were you going
to
say, Katie?
I have a bone to pick with this question because it was not just The Rock that purchased this team. He purchased it with his ex-wife, Danny Garcia, and she put out a load of tweets because she was not mentioned in any of the press releases, but she is a legit 50% owner of the team.
Yeah, it was her idea.
Yeah, but not like she was going mad because no one's giving her any credit. All the headlines are just like, The Rock buys the XFL.
If me and The Rock went halves on the XFL and the media reported that The Rock bought the XFL apart from Rick Nash, I wouldn't really have a leg to stand on.
You would, though, because it's an interesting story and you need to give credit where credit's due. You tell me if he didn't buy it with a male partner, that the male partner wouldn't get mentioned.
Again, if it was me and The Rock... Would I be no, I what you focus that on?
The headlines would say Rick Nash buys XFL.
It's not a case of like, it's like, here's the thing. Okay, the XFL being bought is moderately interesting. It's a league that's failed twice now. It's like, again, and even this time it was a good league. Like, there was a lot of good ideas, but it just they ran out of money.
Was it hit by the pandemic?
Yeah. That's why. Okay. Like, it was, if the pandemic didn't happen, it could, like, have well been a massive success. Like, it was just, it was like the Ultimate Fighter, where they just needed, like, a Super Bowl final type game that ended up being a classic and it just changed the entire sport. Like, it was one of those where there was so much potential there. Like, it was, it's such a shame. So, the XFL being bought is kind of interesting.
But see, this is what makes it interesting. She bought it. She's the first woman to ever own a sports league. Ever.
Yeah, it's not interesting.
That's more interesting than The Rock buying it.
Nah, it's not.
That is.
It's not.
But isn't the idea...
I'm not against her. Like, I knew straight away it was her idea. I've looked into that.
Well, I like this headline. Haven't done that in a while. She is a history maker. Danny Garcia is the first woman to own an independent sports league independent from a team. Read more about her acquisition of the XFL with business partner Dwayne Johnson. That's how the headlines should be.
She's a 33% owner. Oh, is she? Yeah.
Well then, who's the third person? They need justice as well.
Justice for the third person.
It's not weird though, the idea of somebody owning a league. Like, I never once thought like who owns the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? That's mad. I didn't think of that.
That somebody owns it, like.
Yeah, like somebody has to own it. Somebody has to be in charge. But the idea of somebody being at the absolute top of that, like, you think about all the authority figures in the Premier League, for example, and like so much on top of all of them.
But that's what a sports league is. It's literally like it's run by the owners. Like, American football is a business. Like, American sports are a business. It's like the owners own it. They own the league. That's why you don't have promotion relegation, because they're like, no, you're not going to relegate me. I'm one of the bosses. So it's franchises. It's not clubs. It's different. It's a different type of thing. It's a big business. That's why you'll hear more about American leagues owners.
XFL? Now, there's not enough clubs for this to work, right? But if they did, cut it in half, do a promotion relegation system, that'd be deadly. We're in a playoff to get into a championship-style playoff. Into the Premier League, because that was deadly. I don't know. I don't know enough about the XFL to really like give a huge amount of input here.
Yeah, like there's not too much to it. Like, again, it was a winning formula. I'd like to see them carry on as they were doing. I'd like to see just more of the XFL that I knew and liked. I think it'd be savage. There's bets being placed on whether The Rock will play a game.
Go on.
I'd love to see that. It'd be awesome.
I want to see like teams full of wrestlers playing. That'd be a laugh.
Like, no, because the thing with the league was it was a good idea. It was like a good B league, if that makes sense. So I don't want to see it be gimmicked up. Like, that's one thing I definitely do not want to see. I don't mind but even the ideas like players being interviewed on the pitch that were kind of gimmicky. But even then, it's like, yeah, why don't we do that? Like, why don't we just...
hasn't formed a coherent thought yet.
but why don't we just, like, take, like, something, like, a sports interview that already is there, but just turn that up to 11? Do you know what I mean? So, it's, like, it's just an enhanced version of something that's already there, rather than gimmicky, and it takes away from the sporting side. Because sport has to... For you to keep interested for more than a year, you have to care about the actual sport and who wins and who loses. And to do that, there has to be a sense of integrity, and there has to be a sense of fairness and investment. You have to be able to invest and engage. So I don't want to see too many gimmicks, just the main thing.
Prison rules. I want to see them going at each other like that. Like that.
The longest yard.
Like that Italian tournament they have where it's like the ball has to go into the net under any means necessary. Like there's literally no rules.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, have you never heard of it?
No.
Oh, I'll try to find the name of it. I think Copa 90 did a documentary on it. It's mad.
Or like the Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilding program where you can just take what you like. And it's just like, it's just monsters. The bodybuilding contest. It's literally, it's like, whatever you want.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Am I right? I'm right in saying that, haven't I? He runs a bodybuilding contest where you can literally take
there's
whatever
no testing
you want.
Regulations.
No,
I thought it was a natural.
I thought all bodybuilding contests.
I could be getting mixed up with something else there, but as far as I'm concerned,
either way,
yeah.
Go all out, go mad. I'll do everything you can to possibly attract my attention. That, I think that'd be a laugh.
Let's interview Lewis Hamilton halfway through a quarter at 155 miles an hour. Hey, Lewis, what do you think about the race? He's gone. Back to you in the commentary desk.
Yeah, scrap team radios. Replace team radios with like on-site interviews. Like, you was having a bunch of
Hi, Lewis. It's Rick here from the Lobos podcast. What's your strategy?
As soon as he's going past, it's like, yeah, it's good. Interesting. Yeah, this is, again, a very interesting question. Thank you, Chris. At Brian a Maniac, have any of you ever had a dream involving wrestling? If so, what happened in it?
Half of my dreams are about wrestling.
I had one recently where I did a tiger suplex to my brother. Okay. Rick, do you have wrestling dreams?
Yeah, but I don't remember them. Like, I tend to talk about them when I'm on the air. So, I've come on the show with a couple. Like, if I remember them, I'm like, that's going to be a funny story for on air. Half of my dreams are about wrestling. I had one recently. It was about, Irish wrestling. It was something to do with that. I can't remember what it was though. Like, and it was like realistic. It was like dealing with the current themes.
I have dreams about wrestling, like, but it's not like wrestling. Like, the focus isn't wrestling, right? So it's like before.
Eric Rowan robs a bank, like.
No. It's at a wrestling show and I'm commentating, right? But the thing is, before I ever commentate any show, I'm always incredibly nervous before, like the day beforehand, I'm going to fuck everything up. Like it's a bad, I get so anxious. Like, so normally like the night before a wrestling show, even if it's so minor, like say if it's a really small show, it's not a big deal, but I'm still freaking out over. I'm like, oh, I'm going to fuck it up. So when I go to bed that night, I dream. And basically the dream normally goes like this, right? So there'll be a match happening in front of me. And, you know, my co-commentator, you know, either Ben or Tony or whoever is like, you know, oh yeah, it's a clothesline. He's going for another one. Oh, he gets another one. His momentum's really turning around. And I grab the mic and I'm like, he's got the wrestling move. But the thing is, I'm fully aware in the dream that I'm speaking like this and I can't stop speaking like this. And I can't. And then like Ben will turn around to me and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my God.
This is a video. The nervous commentator. This is a video. Like, you literally just do that gimmick for a match.
I'm just sort of standing there. It's a horrible dream. When I wake up, I think it happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh shit. Oh shit. And then I come to myself, like, all right, it's tonight, and I can speak fine. Like, it's just a mad, yeah. It's a mad anxious dream.
Yeah, I get them as well about shows. Like, it's horrible, like, where your music's playing and you're not ready and you haven't called the match. And like,
I saw it on Twitter. Somebody tweeted that recently. Apparently, that's a dream, like, a very common, like, wrestler.
Yeah, I have it all the time. But
that's the wrestling equivalent to like a team fall now. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, it like literally everyone I know has had that where their music is playing and they're either naked or they don't have their boots on or something is going wrong. But I also dream about wrestlers a lot in random situations because they say that every face you have in your dreams is someone that you've seen in real life. So like your brain isn't capable of making up a face. Mm. Everything that you picture, it might have been someone you walked by or you seen in a crowd or in a shop or on TV. So like I always
you're including TV people.
Yeah. Like could be something that you've watched on TV, but like your brain has taken their image in because your brain can't make up new faces.
Oh, now I buy that. Yeah. But that's not science though. You're just gone based off like your word, you know what I mean? Like, scientists didn't come up with that.
No, scientists didn't.
No, they didn't. No.
No. Dream people did.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I also have wrestlers in like the most mundane situations in my head, like fucking go to Tesco, like, oh, how are you, Bray Wyatt?
Like, if he has like mask on,
yeah.
He's got a real normal voice. He's like, how do you do, my lady?
does he have his mask, but then just like regular everyday clothes?
Yeah, and then he's got his Tesco club card in his lantern.
No, somebody rings him and he's like, you know, doing his whole like the fiend, you know, oh yeah. And then like, so like, sorry, do you want cash? No, thank you.
Amazing. When Keen said pack of courage, did that happen in slow motion? When Keen said packing courage, did that happen in slow motion?
Oh. No, the dreams are like, even like, they're just, because at least that, like, I made a mistake, but I said it. Whereas in my dreams, I'm literally not even, like, you can't even understand me, you know?
You need to do like a video on this. You need to commentate on a match, like, as that character.
Yeah.
Socially awkward commentator, like, amazing.
Well, thank you for the question, Brian. At @Owen_Davis1, what's the most professional / real, I have an answer for this, real world use you've had for your wrestling fandom? I wrote my final college essay on wrestling, so mine's kind of similar.
Am I involved in like this? I think I know what your answer
is. No, actually, that's just a good answer. Yeah. There's loads of assignments like that. First of all, do you have any answer yourself?
I'm like we used to do presentations in work. At the moment, I'm working on one about mental health now. At the moment, but like, my next big presentation I'm going to put together is on managing creative people, and it's going to be about like low blows and producing and like trying to run parties and like how to manage creativity and kind of nurture that and stuff like that as well.
Show me a link in there. Be like, you know, if you ever wanted to see this creative person, you know, his YouTube channel is right here.
I probably will end up like talking about like you and kind of stuff like that in it, because it's like, I want my next thing to be like, I want to be something where I teach them stuff, because like, I'm talking to like managers of like a $1 billion company. So like, I want to teach you now. And like, so I'm like, how could I teach them? And I'm like, well, they probably haven't managed like creative kind of like artisty type folks, like, which is what wrestlers are like, you know what I mean? They have like kind of, and it is a different style of management to the style that I do now at the moment. So it's like, but like, if I can break it down into like relate stuff that is in their day, and it's like, here's how you handle it in this situation, and it's like, what can we learn from that for about our own day-to-day jobs and stuff, and how we can empower people to be who they want to be and stuff like that, and so on, because that fits in. So like, that's going to be very wrestling based, and even just talking about like low blows, like the job I'm in now, I use low blows a shitload in the interview. Like, it's great. Like, a lot of what I've done here is like, it turns out that even though like low blows never became full time, I learned, the skills I learned in it are so fucking valuable and gave me so many like really nice things that like I'm able to, like, I'm like getting trained by like, again, like senior managers and so on in like a competitive market and so on, and like, they're coming to me and going, how would you handle when someone's like always late? And they're like saying little things because they know like I've been through things that they haven't. But like, it's the same with like, I imagine a lot of stuff through Fight Factory. I'd say you can bring a lot of stuff. Like, wrestling teaches you such weirdly specific things that like, when you actually realize, oh wait, I can transfer it. Like, even radio and podcasts. And I was like, oh, I know how to do this already. I learned all these lessons somehow through like learning how to put together a wrestling match.
Yeah, even like social media for work and stuff. Yeah. It's like, I know how to do a promo. Like,
yeah.
I can do this health and safety video. But even like the confidence to stand up and talk and like, basically like cut promos on my staff, like, but I had it on my CV for years as well, that my interest was wrestling and that sort of stuff. It's always a nice talking point.
It'll always get you like an interview or something like that.
I was imagining ahead of like a manager coming to Rick and being like, what, how would you say, like, what, like, I'll be cutting a promo and then all of a sudden the bell rings and I have to cut a heel promo. And then when I'm in the middle of speaking, they'll make me cut a face promo again.
See,
then a heel promo.
I've always thought of like, can I do heel face? Is that a thing that I can help people with? Like, legit, like, because it's good for wrestling training.
Yeah, there is some very like real life stuff in that. I'd be like, I'm going to try squeeze a video around that. Like, but yeah, what was I going to say? It's going out of my head. The question. Yeah, I do loads for Simon Turner Wrestling, like the documentary one where Rick tried to fake cry to help me out. I really appreciate that. An emotion to the...
And then you just kept laughing at me. Like, I was getting there. Like, I was actually, because it was like, I could feel an emotion. And like, what happened was Keane was asking me about like a time in my life when like I realized that wrestling wasn't for me. And I'm like, okay, I can actually tap into a real emotion and give him something here. Like, because again, because of wrestling, I somehow now realize, oh, wait, I can act a bit. So I'm like, I think I can cry here. I think I can actually get to that emotion and give it to Keane. And that would actually look really good in this college documentary. And then, like, we're sitting there recording it, and I'm like, I'm getting there. And I'm like, this is really happening. Like, okay, I'm touching on this. And then all you hear is, like, Keane, who's running the interview, going... And then we have to do 5 or 6 takes. But now we've got one that actually works really well. So we're like, we have to go for that again. But now it's also the thing that makes us laugh.
I still have the video on my phone. I'm like, literally, it's a good like 7 minutes of me gone. Okay. And or it's a video of like Rick and me like, right. So, you know, it's just. You know what I mean? And it's either he laughed or I laughed. Someone like broke down and it was a disaster. But I appreciate it nonetheless. I did. So yeah, that was one. I did make a documentary. Well, I think the funniest example of this is a news writing assignment I had to do just last year, just there. And because we had to do a pitch and then a news story. And the pitch, it's so funny, right? Like I stood up. You have to be like, why are you the person to make the story? I'm like, I'm a commentator for Fight Factory and Phoenix. Ah. I've got all the connections. In other words, like I can like text like LJ Cleary on Twitter and be like, can you please help me? I have to connect. This is some top tier. Like, only VIPs have these sorts of connections.
Like, please help me, LJ.
In the end, and the guy was in the end, like, sorry, because we end up doing a news story on it. And like most people, whenever they're told, oh, you have to interview someone, they're always just like, right, I'm just going to interview like my dad. And it's like, their interviews about fucking like, gardening in Leopardstown or some shit, whereas I got to interview Justy, and Justy's story, obviously it's like I broke my fucking neck, you know what I mean, and it's like a big like, I know any day could be my last, and I'm like, oh shit, it's like pouring his heart out, and I'm like, this is actually gonna make for a great story. I'm just saying. It was a really, really good interview, and I interviewed Debbie as well, and the two interviews are so fucking solid. I actually ended up getting a really good grade in that, and I could tell it was because of that assignment, because the other one I did, I fucking shat the bed, and it was nothing to arrest him. It was a news reporting type shit. But so it was literally that assignment that got me. So thanks, Justy and Debbie, for listening.
Do you know why they were good at that? Because wrestling teaches you the importance of story arcs. So wrestlers know that, like, in a story, there has to be a start, and there has to be an obstacle, and they have to overcome that obstacle. So wrestlers are really good interviews as a result.
But it's like, because you know, you have to like take a quote out of the interview and put it like kind of like in front of everything else, so it's like the thing that grabs your eye, and like, oh, the quote was just like mad. It was just like, again, it's like, you know, broken necks and wrestling.
Finn Balor broke my neck.
Yeah, it's all like real. Oh, it was. But yeah, so wrestling, it can honestly, it can help you a lot. It's good. I mean, I think having an interest like that, you know what I mean, a kind of like a community like that as well, can kind of help you in situations like that.
Big time.
So yeah, wrestling, there's loads of real world uses for it. Interesting question, Owen. Thank you. At Roscom Dan, does a Bigfoot like creature exist, and if one does, would it be unbeatable on Raw Underground? Katie, I feel like this is all you.
Yeah, just because I asked for questions about cryptozoids.
I'm just going to put the mic down and check the score in the United
Games. It's my new passion. Because cryptozoids are these like urban legend type creatures like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster and stuff. And I just think it's fascinating. And I've been talking so much to Phil, probably hates me at this stage, like about if these things exist. Because it's that whole like, no smoke without fire thing. I genuinely think, right, that some sort of abnormal creature existed and then these urban legends get spun out of it. Now, Phil's theory is that it's just stories made up to scare children so parents can make them do what they want. But, like, I do think there has to be some truth, like, because, I mean, like there's anomalies in species all the time. You know what I mean? And, like, this world is so big. We have not discovered everything about it. They're still discovering new species of animals every single day. Like, we've only explored, like, tiny parts of the ocean. Like, there's no way that we know everything that's going on this planet. So yes, I think Bigfoot exists. Like, it has to. Something like that has to. Yetis, yeah, all like definitely exist. Loch Ness Monster, probably down there somewhere. Like, there's a magical world we don't know about. Fairies also believe in them.
Well, I mean, you've got no, I mean, technically if nobody has, I mean, unless you've explored all of it, can you really say that, like,
but that's it, nobody has explored all of it.
I mean, you can say you don't believe it. But I mean,
Like, I think landing on the moon is a conspiracy. Something probably lives on the moon.
Oh, God.
who lives on the moon, then?
I don't know, because we don't know, because we've never really been
there.
If
you had to guess, though, like, who'd say?
Some kind of Yeti. Some kind of moon monster.
Just one Yeti. And he never reproduces.
Yeah, he's...
Well, he's on his own, like.
2 million years old.
And he just doesn't die.
Yeah.
Despite the lack of atmosphere.
He's like a godfather.
And it being uninhabitable.
Yeah, but the atmosphere is a human... The atmosphere is a human construct. How are we to say that there's not an animal that can survive in that atmosphere?
Well, he'd float. But there's no gravity in space.
Yeah, but maybe he doesn't need gravity. Maybe that's a design feature of that creature.
Maybe he's mad heavy and just doesn't float. Gravity just can't pull him. Or that, the lack of gravity can't
maybe
pull
him. Maybe the moon
isn't
real.
You're describing the moon. that's what the moon is.
But
I can't do this for the rest of my life.
Maybe the moon isn't real.
I can't do this.
I know, it's like, it is. It's literally right there.
Like, you can see it. Like, right, like, look out the window. There it is.
But, like, what if that's, like, oh, we're going to go back into Truman Show-esque fucking theories here and all about the world not really existing. But, yes, I do agree. I do believe that monsters and creatures exist because there's no reason that they wouldn't exist.
But
there's
would
literally
they
no
undefeated
reason.
In Raw Underground?
Yeah. Okay. Eric Rowan versus Bigfoot.
Rowan batters him.
No.
Yeah, he does.
Happening.
Yeah, he does. Last poll on Twitter. Who'll win? A big foot, just a big foot, or Eric Rowan, an absolute
beast.
That's
not what big foot is, by the way. It's not a giant foot.
Yeah, I know, but like, he basically is. Compared to like Eric Rowan, who's an absolute beast, former tag team champion. Like,
oh, I'd love to see Shane McMahon hype up big foot. Like, that's a dream of mine now.
Also, I just think like with the Hurt Business running it, like MVP, Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, I think they'd batter
him. Did Ziggler have a fight on Raw Underground?
Yeah, and
because that is gas.
No, but that's why I love Raw Underground I forgot to mention this earlier, so I'm glad we brought it up. I think you get to see a different side of everyone. It's really interesting. Yeah. But also, people are comparing it to GCW Bloodsport, and that's something I disagree with. Because when you watch Bloodsport, first of all, in that whole world, it's legal and it's also kind of the focus. Like, when you see Allison Kay versus Nicole Savoy, I think that's who she faced at Bloodsport, the match is the focus. Whereas this is more of a storyline. The matches aren't actually... Like, the details of the match aren't what's important, if you know what I'm trying to say. Mm. Like, it's just the fact that the match is happening. Who's running? Like, it's more of a... Like, it's not like established wrestlers fighting each other, you know what I mean? It's them taking advantage of young, up-and-coming performance center recruits, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's very interesting. I'm so, like, because it's a very heel thing to do. They're just bullying trainees, you know what I mean? But you see the likes of Eric and stuff in there as well, and you're like...
It makes them so much more important, and like, just it adds to their aura. It suggests like there's a league of difference. Like, WWE wrestlers they kick the shit out of normal people.
Yeah,
and that's just something that we don't have a scope for in wrestling these days. Because wrestlers, there's so many fucking wrestlers and so many promotions that you forget wrestlers are supposed to be tough. You forget they're supposed to be like, oh, he kicked the shit out of me.
That's why I was surprised hearing Dolph Ziggler was in it. Because to me, like, he's not a tough guy.
No, but exactly. Shane McMahon did it on I suppose you'd call it commentary if you want. But he was talking about how, or whoever it was I was talking, I think it was Shane, was saying, oh, this is a former, like, whatever wrestler. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you know, he might not be like Mr. Badass, knock people out, but he can wrestle and he choked your man out. You know what I mean? So it's like, it makes sense.
That's it, exactly. And that's why I liked Eric out of the Viking Raiders. That was my favorite part, because I'm like, even a tag team wrestler in a singles fight against a normal person is going to batter him, you know what I mean? So it makes everyone look amazing. It makes everyone look badass. Like, it benefits that, because he's like low on the card and you don't think of him as being tough by himself, but then you're like, oh yeah, he's a WWE wrestler, like, yeah, of course he's tough. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, imagine a UFC fighter against like random people in the crowd, like, who wants a fight? It's like, that's what happened. So why would it not be the same in WWE? Do you know what I mean? But interesting response to this in the chat. Keith Hanley argues Bigfoot is real. He agrees with you.
Yes.
He says his name is Harry and he lives with the Hendersons. He says fairies are real. Never mess with the standalone Hawthorne tree on its own in the field. Are you confusing urban legends from Pokemon again, Katie? Jonathan says, I think Lasker beating Man United. 1-0.
What is it?
5-1.
Oh.
Like, they're playing kids. Are you confusing urban legends for Pokemon again, Katie? Jonathan said. Jonathan does a good Pokemon podcast, Jellyfield Donut, on the Lobos Network, by the way. Listen to it. It's really, really good. If you're even a little bit into Pokemon, it'll make you more interested. Here, lads, thank fuck Phil's around. Katie would probably be conned into selling Fight Factory for some magic beans.
But yeah, no, very, very interesting question. Thank you, Dan. Where am I now? At Scott_Aspel. If WrestleMania were to happen in Ireland, where would you hold each event? Belfast can be included because the Three Arena isn't big enough for the Raw or SmackDown stages unless you want to compromise production for those. Well, Belfast is part of Ireland, so I mean, you can include it if you want. But, and I thought about this, I was like, maybe you could include Belfast, maybe you could include Cork, and you could include everywhere. And I thought, actually, you don't need to include Belfast. You don't need, no offense to Cork, but you don't need to include Cork either or any county outside Dublin. You don't even need to include Dublin City because Tala has everything you could possibly want. Declan, back me up here, right? Tala Stadium, WrestleMania, Basketball Arena, Raw and SmackDown. All the other indie shows take place over the whole course of the weekend. You've got, you know, Killing the Manor, et cetera, et cetera. And for the Hall of Fame, Square or something, that would be grand. You know what I mean?
Square. Again, whoever's getting inducted just gets lost trying to get out of it.
Thomas Davis GAA Club. We used to do shows there.
Perfect.
Brilliant.
Perfect.
Or what we could do is we could do a school where Mama Manson and I did a Don't Try This at Home seminar, except we arrived really early and they were like, and the teachers were like, oh, we're not exactly ready for you yet. Do you want to come back after lunch? And we're just like, yeah, we'll just get some lunch and we'll hang out. And then we had to hang out for 40 minutes in the car park, eating like a roll, like where there were kids playing. And then we realized we were in a white van. Just two lads in a van eating a roll, watching kids in the playground. And we're like, it's not a great look. It's like, this is not a great look. And then we're like, it's Tala. Nobody will say anything. And sure enough, they didn't. It's a hole. So no, I don't want it to be here.
But yeah, WrestleMania Tala 2021, we'll say 22. You know, I think
WrestleMania at Slane will be a whopper.
Oh,
that'd be a laugh. That'd be such a mess, but I'd love it.
It'd be gas. Like, I would love that.
Oh,
it would be big enough to hold it.
Oh, that's a very good show.
What, they get 70, 80,000 people there for gigs?
Where would you put the ring and all that?
Where the stage goes.
Where the stage.
And then, like, there's a big hill looking down on it.
Slane has loads of events. That's why you said it.
And it's not in Dublin. I don't know why that's a factor. Sorry. I like Dublin.
It's not easier to get Dublin, though, than it is to get Slane. Like, imagine the amount of buses.
Yeah, people make it work.
Yeah, like, I get a bus to Slane when I go.
Although, yeah, like, the concerts and all in Slane are, like...
Yeah, they're always sold out and massively attended, so it works. I like that. I'm willing to sign off on Slane. And then you have, like, the Three Arena and stuff like that.
Slane versus Tala, I mean.
Yeah, Tala Stadium all day. So, anyone have a better suggestion than Tala?
I'm going to go Slane.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Scott. Yeah, no, Raw, SmackDown, Basketball Arena. I think we can all agree on that. Boxy at Box Nile 23. If you could work for any promotion in the world as a commentator, where would it be and why? My guess is Rick, New Japan, KEWCW, and Kian, anywhere Eric Rowan / Allison Kay is. Interesting guesses. Is he right, Rick?
You would think that, but he's not. I wouldn't commentate.
Is it because he can't speak Japanese?
No, they have an English guy. Oh, yeah. No, here's why, okay? I would be worried that I wouldn't be able to do it justice. I like listening to the commentary in New Japan. I like being given that extra context. I feel that there's so much depth to the storylines. I'd be like Keane before every show for a New Japan. Do you know what I mean?
Dreaming about you and like Rocky Romero or something and being like, the rest
Chris Charlton, man. If I was on with Chris Charlton, like, he'd absolutely like... Like, I'm shocked that, like, Don managed to get away with it, but Don's got, like, he did a show with Chris Charlton. But, like, I suppose Chris Charlton probably, like, carried him for a lot of the knowledge side of things, because Chris Charlton has an encyclopedia. Chris Charlton is a fan who, like, a super fan who knows everything about Japanese wrestling and who, like, moved to Japan and, like, followed Japanese wrestling and, like, learned the language. He became famous on Twitter because he used to translate the Japanese promos before they had English commentary. So everyone followed him. So literally you could follow Chris Charlton along and, like, while promos are happening, like, you're getting almost to the second translations, like, and he knows so much about, and he's written books on New Japan and this history and this and that. So, like, being beside him or, like, replacing him or anything like that would just cause you too much anxiety. No, it's way too much. WWE, I could be in my comfort zone. I know as much about the history probably as anyone who works there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel it's a good quality of life. I look at the likes of Corey Graves. He seems to have a pretty fucking swanky life. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'd be in my comfort zone. I'd be able to do it justice. I'd be able to bring something to it. I think, like, even just being able to bring back storylines. Yeah, Vince McMahon in your ear, which is a big factor. And there's a lot of...
Some laugh, though.
Yeah.
Imagine that, like.
Yeah, it's a story. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, if you do shit, it's like, who cares? It's funny, like.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's you always have stories for life that are always relevant. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know if I did commentary for New Japan. If I came back here and was telling you guys, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. If I was like, Vince McMahon was in my ear, you'd be like, what did he say? Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think I go WWE. Just for the stories. It's not even like, again, New Japan's my favorite promotion, but that's kind of why I don't want to do it. I don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a curveball on my one for okay. much the same reason. Also, with WCW, like, while I love the likes of Mike Tenay and stuff, you'd also have to compete with, like, Mark Madden or Eric Bischoff or, like, someone like that.
Could you not replace them?
I suppose you could. But what I was thinking is, I would absolutely love to be a commentator for GLOW. Like, back in the day, GLOW. Like, I love that campy, over the top. You could be a character. Like, that would be so much fun.
You get to be on with your man Dash.
Yeah. You live in Las Vegas. Like, yes. You know, you don't have to travel around. You're just there doing your show. Like, I think that's the dream. Like, a commentator for GLOW.
That's brilliant. That's a really good show.
Yeah, geez. I was thinking about this. So, like, anywhere Eric Rowan, Allison Kay is, yeah, you pretty much, like, kind of. Like, again, like, I'm very happy where I'm at because the shows aren't, like, you know, watched by, like, hundreds of thousands of people because that'd scare the shit out of me.
Except for the pack match.
But then, oh, yeah! Literally, like, over 100,000, oh, shit. Anyway, I didn't know that at the time. I think WWE falls in that territory where it's just such, it'd be, like, again, if it wasn't me with a reputation behind me, or anything, it was just me now. Just thrown in there, it'd be so funny that, like, even like if I did shit, it's like, yeah, but it's funny, like,
yeah, but that's the thing, you can be shit in WWE. Think Mike Adamley, he became a Raw general manager. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can be shit in WWE and then you become a meme because memes work in WWE. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I want to see more of that awkward Irish kid.
But also, I'd love to commentate with, like, Mauro Ranallo. He's just the fucking best. Yeah, I wouldn't even talk. I'd just sit there and listen to him.
I'd hate to do NXT because it's much too serious. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I can get it wrong. Raw? Couldn't give a bollocks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, yeah, now the Viking Raiders are playing golf against the Street Profits. What's going to happen here? Who cares?
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be so funny to be like, hyping up segments that you know are fucking shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Be like, ooh, like, an eye for an eye match.
It's us doing, like, keen fame predictions. Like, yeah, that's what it'd be.
It'd be so, we also got to come take with Smojo as well. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, now that you put it like that, like, not obviously not, like, during the pandemic, but just in general, I think it'd be, like, under normal circumstances, I think it'd be really funny to go there and work and, like, just, I don't know. But then, like, what? I'm trying to think, where is, honestly, NWA Power... I wouldn't want to ruin it. You know what I mean? Again, kind of like with you and New Japan, a lot of promotions fall into that category. Wouldn't want to ruin it.
Impact, so, you can just say, fuck it. They say, fuck it.
Even then, I'd be so, like, because I see all the abuse that, like, Josh gets, Josh Matthews, when he's commentating. I'm like, I would crumble under that. Like, you know what I mean? I'd fucking freak out. Whereas with WWE, I'm like, I don't know. There's something about it where it's like, I don't care. But again, if I was with Impact, I'd try not to fuck it up. You know what I mean?
You're also, like, keep in mind, WWE, you're also getting a pretty fucking sweet wage. You're probably getting six figures. So you're like, I really...
Yeah, but I'm also probably getting sacked after a week. So there is... So, like...
Everyone's paying. It'd be funny.
I don't know. It's an interesting one, yeah. Because I'm kind of torn between, like, don't want to commentate for a massive promotion, but then... WWE is so massive that it's just ridiculous. That's kind of funny.
Imagine Key Hanley says, imagine the low blows pop when you come up on screen. Like the Sean Deng pop, like, oh, and then it's Keane beside Byron Saxton. Yeah!
No, that would be such a laugh, man. I'd love to do Mandarin with Sean Deng. That'd be an absolute dream. If I get to commentate with Sean Deng, and like, I just...
Sean Deng's just like, I'm not going to do like a fake Chinese accent, don't worry. But like, Sean Deng just like speaks in Mandarin and Keane just goes, we
no, I learn, no I, what I do is I learn like it's boss time, but in like Mandarin. Or I learned like the real cheesy, like, or like, what was it? Didn't quite get all of it, or, you know, something like that. I learned that in like Mandarin, learned the sort of go on my son in Mandarin. And I just, he could do, you know, the lion's share of the work, but I could be like, come on, Sean, you got it. Actually, did any of you see the video of Taz? This had me in fucking bits laughing. AEW, I wouldn't want to go near for the same reason. It'd be too much pressure. But Taz on commentary made me laugh so hard, this video clip, because his caption was, you know, what some commentators will say, you know, didn't quite get all of it. And another one would say, like, high, this is what they call it, high risk for a reason. And then Taz, dot, dot. And I click into it. And Joey Janela jumps from one person's back to another to try and tag in his partner, but slipped. And Taz is just like, he fell on his ass. He went to make the tag and fell on his ass. Funniest thing ever. I need to go back and watch it after it's cast. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I prefer commentating for smaller promotions. I think it's a lot more relaxed. It's a lot more fun.
You can have a laugh at it as well.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, but I also care about it. I'm very passionate about it. Whereas if I was as passionate as I am about that as I would be about a bigger promotion, the pressure would kill me.
Do you know what I love about commentating for smaller promotions? You're actually playing a big part in it, because you realize that, like, if this is a free match or something, you're like, I'm selling these wrestlers to the world. Do you know what I mean? So you're getting to kind of play a part in the story. You know, you're formulating that story for people who may not have seen it before.
And I find it a lot easier to tell stories on like the local scene where I'm invested in every single character. And I know so much about it. I find that the most fun. But yeah, ideally, right? Fight Factory in Phoenix, but with Eric Rowan and Allison Kay. So I know the general manager's right here. The person who can make that happen is right here. So,
you have to choose. You know,
just saying, Eric Rowan, free agent, Allison Kay. I'm sure he can work something out with NWA.
We actually got on to Eric Rowan, and apparently he's not taking any indie bookings because of some stable.
But if CN asks, he'll do it.
Man, that's, I don't know. I know we already talked about
this. This is a weird year. That seems like about 3 years ago when we got the Eric Rowan video.
When was it?
That was like this year. Was it 2020? Like,
oh yeah, because it was after it got released. That would have been like the start of the pandemic.
Oh my god,
a couple of months ago. Like,
that does feel like about 4 years ago. Yeah,
that's insane.
Well, like, if you take into account, like, I keep thinking, oh, lockdown was 3 months, but like, it's actually been like 5 or 6 months since I've seen you guys.
Keenan left the house for the first time in five months.
I've used a bus or gone anywhere. Yeah,
it's like 5 months. That's insane.
But yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I actually don't really have a concrete answer for Foxy now that I think about it. Kind of just ran through a load of promotions.
I think it's a good answer anyway.
Please let me know. Or just some mad niche promotion. Some mad niche promotion in like, I don't know. I can't think. But yeah.
Living Dead Girl, wherever she is.
Yes, that'd be UPW. There you go. Wonder where they're at these days. Thanks for the question, Foxy. At Joe Stodge, what's your favorite urban legend? Mine's the one about the lad nervous about his leaving cert. The lad so nervous about his leaving cert French oral that he took a bunch of drugs to calm down. Went in and was convinced he aced it. Turns out he was so out of it, he just spoke English with a French accent. I suppose mine would be the... You know the story the primary school teacher told you about, like, the kid who swung in his chair too far back, split his head open, blood went everywhere. He died a very quick but very painful death while all his classmates looked on and were traumatized forever. That's my favorite legend. I wonder what that person's up to these days.
Are we talking school or are we talking in general?
Urban legend. I mean, he didn't specify, so yeah. I suppose anything really. You got about 50.
Oh yeah, like I love urban legends. But like, that one reminded me of one in school where there was this girl in my year, and then she told us that she went into her Irish exam and accidentally answered it all in French, but the teachers were so impressed they gave her 100%. And I was like, that's not true, is it? Like,
I've been watching a lot of In Betweeners, and that is proper.
Like, that didn't happen. urban legends, like, oh, like, I love the scary ones, like your Bloody Marys and stuff, and like fairy houses. But I think my absolute favorite is the Banshee. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, Banshee.
The Banshee. Like, I mean, I've written a book, and it's based on different origin stories of the Banshee that I've heard from different people. It's something I'm in the middle of writing.
Great, that actually sounds interesting. I was ready to laugh at you, but
Like when I was
in, sounds like a decent book.
When I was in film school, one of my short films was based on a Banshee origin story that my nanny told me. Right. And then I workshopped it in a writing course last year. So now I'm like, I just love the Banshee. I think it's fascinating. Like Darby O'Gill and the Little People is one of my favorite films because it's got a Banshee in it. But I'm also terrified of Banshees. And if I like hear or see anything resembling a Banshee, I cry. So like, it's a really effective urban legend.
Yeah. It's like literally terrified children. That was mine as well. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's the best one.
Thank you for the question, Joe. At @pop_cult_pod. If you could live in any fictional world, you're not interacting with the main characters, just the world they live in, which one would you pick? I did a podcast on Batman recently. Is this a different question?
I think so.
The sneaky second question. Boom!
Well, let's start with the first one first then. Fictional world that you want to live in.
I love this question so much. We all
just jumped on poor Tom.
I love this question so much. I always think about stuff like this. Yeah. Like when you're watching TV shows and all and you're like, how would I survive in that world? Like on one hand, like I would love to live in the Game of Thrones world.
Oh, no.
Why?
That's a horrible place for a woman to live.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be like that kind of woman. I would be like...
I'm not saying you're any kind of woman. Every woman is miserable. Sansa, Cersei, every woman has a miserable time.
Yeah, but like...
They're queens. Sansa ends it, a queen. Think of how horrible her life was. Yeah, it's a horrible place for a woman to live.
Then think of like Arya, like fucking badass.
Watched her father get beheaded.
Oh yeah, that's not bad. Sorry,
Sally.
Like
arrived to meet the reunion of her brother and mother, and found out they had just been savagely murdered.
All right, well now you're poking besides holes that. In it, right?
Yeah.
Was like, blinded for all right, a while.
All right. Counter argument: dragons.
Yeah, magic.
Turned Cersei insane.
Yeah,
but not
like,
her.
Not Cersei, sorry. He's turned Khaleesi insane.
But do you not think that's so far removed from our world that it's just fascinating? And like, even try it for a month just to see how you get on. Like,
it's great to watch on TV.
I'd probably get battered. No, I don't want to live there at all. I was only messing.
It's horrific. It's horrific. And then you see how normal people live. They think of the Hound, like just showing up at that farm. The Hound and Arya showing up at that farmer's house.
Think of Brienne. She's deadly.
In spite of everything, like, yeah. Lived a horrible life, was literally in the room while her one true love was killed in front of her by a ghost.
Wait, what?
Brienne. Oh, yeah, Renly, was that it?
Renly.
Oh,
yeah, she was in the room when he was killed by a ghost that came from your once fanny.
All right. Sorry, maybe I'll reconsider.
There's no like good option here. Okay, Melisandre probably was the one who had like a decent life.
Oh, well, even then she was like torching children.
She wasn't a good person, but she lived her best life. Like I can't think of that many.
Yeah, but she took her necklace off and then she was old.
That's fair. Just don't take your necklace off. Like her problem is easily solved. And within her control.
The one who got burned alive, she didn't have a very good time, did she?
No.
Yeah, I was
the kid.
Yeah. Shireen.
Yeah, no, Shireen had a horrible time. But Melisandre, like, she's living her best life. That's what she wants.
Okay, I'm going to change my answer, all right? I'm going to change my answer to Space Jam because I want to live in a world where Looney Tunes are real.
That's a good world to live in. That seems like the crack.
Yeah.
Because even just like looking at Michael Jordan reacting to everything going on, he's like, this class.
Yeah.
And then like, he's like, Dad, why don't you come home? Nah, I'm here now. I'm like, would you go back? He's like, but we're your family. Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, okay. I'll pick Space Jam.
That's solid. Harry Potter for me. Easy. I actively want to live in this world. Maybe not during the Voldemort.
No one has a good life in that either.
Yeah, they do.
Who?
Like, everyone.
Stair boy living under the stairs.
He went on to, like, marry his true
love. In spite of everything.
If I can't talk about it, time has passed. Like, the author's been cancelled since. Like, yeah, if anything, it's going downward.
Yeah, I actually know what happened, so I don't know why I'm getting ticked.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you understand the end?
No. I probably wouldn't understand it if I watched it, to be fair.
No, if you watch the movies, it explains about it in the books. The books is very confusing. I didn't understand it for a couple of years. I was like, oh, yeah, the thing with the train. Yeah. No, I do get it. I do. Yeah. That's the way I was. But then I watched the movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. It makes sense now. Yeah, no, for me, Harry Potter, easily. Like, even just, like living in that world as a child, like, because the way you read the books is, like, you get to see it through Harry Potter where it is a new world and he's just introduced to it and kind of you're learning about it on the go because he's learning about it. Literally, he's in school, like, learning on the job. So you're learning about it and you're like, this is fucking amazing. Like, even little things like the Christmas dinner, they just wave it and then there's food that just fills up on plates and then as soon as you take, like, a chicken wing, another one just appears in its place and so on until you're not hungry anymore and you just wave it away. The way they shit, they just, like, they can shit in a hole and then just make it disappear. There's a spell for that. Like, it's just like, I'm not saying that's the main thing I want to happen,
that's not the main draw,
but like, I'm just like, everything, there's a solution for everything. Like, even like, they go into tents and they're all camping, but then like, they walk into like what seems like a tiny tent and it becomes this huge new world. Everything is literally magical. Everything is just like, the only thing that holds you back is your own imagination. Like, and that's the, and that is what magic is. It's like, they get into how you create magic, and you can create magic. So like, if you're smart enough and if you learn enough, you can make anything happen. Like, it's literally, the world is your oyster. Like, Harry Potter any day, easily.
I don't know.
Keith Hanley also said, you'd like this. Ireland are World Cup winners in the Harry Potter world.
Oh,
Quidditch,
yeah.
World champions.
I can only think of worlds I don't want to be in. Like, again, I'm not really, I don't watch a lot of like fantasy shows or stuff like that where like the world is any real different. Like, The Walking Dead is obviously my main show, but I don't want to live there. A lot of people say like, oh, I'd be deadly, be killing all the zombies. Yeah, like, no, I wouldn't. I'd be getting fucking, like, literally during this pandemic, deals stopped putting out onion rings for like 2 months and it freaked me out. You know
what I mean? Like, that was the scariest part.
Imagine me in The Walking Dead trying to, like, you know what I mean, survive.
Why would anyone choose The Walking Dead? Even the characters in it are like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, but loads of people love like zombie apocalypse and like, they're always, yeah, like, oh,
yeah, but would you not just want to challenge yourself? That's what would draw me to it. Like, just to experience that different world.
Of zombie apocalypses, I would like to live in Zombie Land.
Yeah.
That's the most fun because that's like, there's people getting creative there. Yeah. And they're like, I'm trying to like make a savage life here. The people in Zombie Land are fun. Like, they're like, how can I make this class? How can I make this the crack?
Well, this is the thing, though. Like, cause I was thinking Shaun the Dead. But it's not the world. It's the people that you're not allowed to interact with that make it what it is. You know what I mean? Shaun the Dead and The Walking Dead is the same premise, really. But it's just two different takes on the same idea, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah.
When you think about
God.
It. What?
Shaun of the Dead rhymes with Dawn of the Dead. I'm sorry, guys. That's just occurred to me.
Jonathan says,
I've never even seen Dawn of the Dead, and I'm sure that was the whole point of the name. Am I right?
Yep.
That's the whole point.
I've watched videos breaking down all the references within Shaun of the Dead, and that has still never occurred to me. This is like when it didn't occur to me for years that the Burger King logo was a burger. I thought it was just a design feature.
You see, if we were still on Zoom now, I could easily turn my computer off and never go there again. But the fact that we're in person means we have to continue this podcast.
Comments. People have been like commenting.
Oh, I'm sure they've got loads of opinions. Did they? I turned my chat off because they didn't want the abuse.
No. I think they've just left. Oh, Jesus. We have lost 3 people. Star Trek would be terrible. You wear one shirt colored red and you're fucked. Springfield seems good crack, barring staying the same age forever. some good, interesting ones. There has to be enough grounds to cancel her now, Chris says.
Stop trying to cancel me,
Can
Chris.
Can we cancel Katie? Fuck's sake, Katie. Is Katie losing brain cells with every podcast? Let's get personal now,
guys. What's actually happening is my mind is expanding. With all the time I'm spending at home reading and researching,
you know,
and thinking.
Expanded means it gets bigger.
Yeah, like, yeah. Look, I'm just
more space.
I'm just on a different
so
plane.
So much space for activities.
I'm just on a different plane from you guys right now. I'm thinking in another dimension. These are small talks.
I would not disagree with that. I would not disagree with you thinking in another dimension. I mean,
it's like earlier, it's like, Keen, you wouldn't understand. Like, yeah, that's a good point, actually, when you put it like that. Makes perfect sense. Where am I? Oh, yes. Back to the question. Yes. More worlds I wouldn't want to live in. Trapped was a game, was like a game show on CBBC where you start at like the top of a tower and there's like, say, 6 or 7 kids. And like, it was actually gas, right? They'd have a basic challenge, whatever, to complete. But one person, they all had earpieces on, and one person would be told, you have to fuck this up. No, not in that language, obviously, because it was like CBBC. But like, basically, it was like, you have to fuck this up on everyone else. And everyone else was told in the earpiece, you are not to fuck this up. And basically, if, what was it again? If they passed the challenge and they succeeded, the person whose job it was to fuck it up got eliminated, and they got stuck on that floor for the rest of their lives, for all of eternity. They're stuck there. They're never going to out the tower. And the whole point was, level after level, another person gets stuck on each level, and the final person out gets out. It was actually really, really good. Because like, if it was like a really obvious challenge, and like they're all doing really well, somebody would have to like obviously fuck it up, and it was obviously them. But then that's if they passed. The person whose job was to fuck it up, they obviously stayed in the same level. But if they did fuck up the challenge and they didn't pass the challenge, then they had to guess who the person was that fucked it up. And then we guessed like
that
the wrong.
That sounds like bullying in game show form.
I was deadly. And I had to like, no, it's all psychology. You know what I mean? That's be like, no, you're the saboteur. That's what they're called, saboteur. I was trying to think of it. No, you are. And it was like, I think it was this person. I think it was that person. And it's like, it was a good show, but I'd hate to be there because I'd be so scared of not winning and being trapped in that castle until I died.
So it's not the world you would pick.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. I don't have a world. I think I go Harry Potter because Ireland win the World Cup.
We're gonna skip ahead because we are running low on time, and there are really good questions that I want to give time to, and I don't want to have to rush through. Okay, so we're gonna skip to our last question, and we will get to these questions in the meantime, guys. Don't worry, Adam and Sean. I seen them, and I'm like, I want to give them time. I don't want to be rushing.
I've turned my internet on. That's
we're gonna go to Rian's question at the end because it is a really good question. I think to end on.
We're not answering your second question, Tom.
But put it in next week because I want to talk about that.
We'll put it in okay. Next where it's legal, yeah. where we can legally answer it. I'm sorry, I actually just didn't have an answer for it. Anyway, it's a Batman related. But anyway, what questions am I going for here?
We're going for Rian's question.
So that's we're going for the last one next, are we?
Last question.
Right, at @Rian_no_numbers. This week marks a year since my granddad passed away. I consider him to be the person who has made me the person I am in life and is my biggest influence. Sorry for the heavy question, but who do you believe is the person that has most helped you become who you are today? If you think that's heavy, were you listening last week when Declan accidentally traumatized all of us?
Yeah, no, like this is a nice question compared to it. Like, yeah.
I don't know. Who do you have an answer?
My granddad was similar. My granddad used to teach me about like grafting and wanting to get a job. And like, you know, how the definition of a man is like supporting your family and hard working and just being there for people. And I have loads of pictures that I cherish of me, like from when I was a kid. There's pictures of me like as a little 3-year-old pushing the lawnmower with my granddad. And then later, the first business that I started was like my granddad used to get me clients full of like the L ones that he'd like go to mass with who couldn't cut the grass anymore. Like, and he got me little like side gigs, like kind of cutting their grass the weekend. And we used to like have quality time and stuff like that. And then like we'd always have cups of teas afterwards and he'd have stories, but like there'd be messages in there, there'd be lessons in there. Like a real kind of mentor figure. I spoke about this before where like kind of I was a bastard child, so like he was a real like kind of mentor father figure that I kind of needed. This question touched me when you started talking about kind of how your granddad, because it sounds like you had a similar kind of lovely relationship with him. It reminded me of mine. That'd be it for me.
Yeah, it's such an interesting question because there's like so many different like areas of your life.
Yep.
But like again, this got me thinking about my own grandparents and my nanny. And like she was similar, she was so gassed because she just did not give a shite who you were. Once you were happy, that's all that mattered. And I remember when I first started pole dancing, and my brother would be going mad. He was like, "You can't be pole dancing this and that." So me nanny was over one day, and he goes, "Tell nanny what you're doing. Go on, tell her what you've taken up." And I just went, "I'm taking pole dancing lessons." And she was just like, "Oh. Well, that sounds very interesting. Why don't you just come over and tell me all?" And my brother was fucking snapping. But she was like that. She was like, "Do you love it?" "Yeah." "All right. Well, that's grand." And she just wanted to know all about it then. And she was the kind of nanny where I have a big family. I think my ma had 11 brothers and sisters. And like all of them had a lot of grandchildren. She never once forgot a birthday. Like, if you call up to your house, she'd have something for you. Even if it was pulled from the back room, she'd have something. But, like, she knew I loved reading and puzzles from a young age, so she used to save her take a breaks for me. And she wouldn't do the puzzles, or she'd only do half of them.
Aww.
And she'd have a little stack of them for me every time I went up. And, like, to this day, I still buy take a break every week. So, like, yeah, she just kind of taught me to take no shite and just, if you're happy, you're happy, and that's it. Like,
that, like, because even if you look at that then, and you look at kind of, like, you know, you're someone now who, like, in terms of my granddad taught me about, like, grafting and making business, and then I have low blows now and all these, like, wild ideas and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's helped me. And then when you look at that, like, it's kind of, your nanny was clearly someone who taught you about acceptance and about, like, kind of fighting to be who you are and don't be ashamed of who you are and this and that. Like, that's clearly, like, something that's a heavy trait within you now. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you can literally see the things, like, that you learn through that, like, and it really is. That's the kind of what Ryan was asking. Keen, have you got? It's a heavy question, I know.
Oh, I never got to know my grandparents, so I don't know.
It doesn't have to be like, no, it doesn't have to be a grandparent, like, but
take a little bit off everyone, I suppose, you know, in terms of lessons, you know. There's some ways I've people, you know, personally, but like, people might listen to her or something, or
yeah,
I don't know. Okay. Yes, I don't know, I feel very on the spot.
But that's it, like, it is a very broad spectrum. Like, yeah. I can name you people I work with as well. Yeah. Like, you know, my manager from the last club I worked in, like, she's an inspiration to me. Like, again, she was just someone who's like, she gave me the best piece of advice I've ever had in life. And it was when I was moving, she basically trained me up to do her role, and then I got sent to another branch to do it. And before I left, I was like, have you any advice? And she's like, just have a reason for everything you do. And, like, that's the best piece of advice I've ever had. So whenever I have to make tough decisions or whatever, like, once I have my reason and I know it and I can argue with it, it's the right decision. And, like, it is genuinely the best piece of advice I've ever been given.
Yeah, there's loads. That's a real thinker to end us on. And it's a nice question as well. Like, sometimes it's nice to, like, have Keane fantasy book himself into oblivion. Or last week, just not prepare anything, just say bye.
That was a daily fantasy booking. Everyone
wants to play the same response, doesn't it? But no, this is a nice question. So thanks, Bill. I'm sorry for your loss, Rena. I hope you're doing okay this week. Adam Turner got on, said similar to Rena, lost her granddad last year. And he's definitely the one that had the biggest influence on the person I am today. So lovely, kind of nice note to kind of end it on.
Bye.
Ha ha ha!